on the Don and Mike Show.
We're going to play what you got in there.
You have a towel on.
Nothing, obviously, that we can see.
Can't see a goddamn thing.
Very good.
Let's see what she's got in there. Take the towel off.
All right, now she's reaching.
Oh, she really had it inside.
Oh, oh, dear. What is it?
It's an inhaler.
An inhaler.
I'm going to give you an extra prize if you can put it in and actually make it go.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Eastern son of a beat.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free. At 877-365-3636.
Oh. That's right.
But turn your radio down. No, who would you do call? Don't call to play the name game. No call to rate women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
What?
And don't call telling jokes.
Oh, really?
The Don and Mike Show.
Jesus, you're not laying in your own puke, are you?
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, I've heard a lot of people use his name in vain.
Especially last night.
In the scant 12 hours that we've been in Tampa Bay. But if I hear one more person say, Phil effing Hochberg, I'm going to really be mad. Ladies and gentlemen, son of our Lord, here he is, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Robbie. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak!
You know, the phrase I heard a lot last night was Phil H. Hochberg. You know, by the way, Phil is sorry he couldn't make it today.
Why?
Well, he was waiting for Buzz for a ride for the airport, and Buzz just didn't pick him up. I don't know what the thing was.
Where am I going?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. York, Oxbig, and all the ships at sea. Hey, stop by their broadcast site and let them pop a couple of hot balls in you. Live from Superb Owl 35, it's the Don and Mike Show.
And hopefully, Rob, that is the last time we're going to hear this Superb Owl thing
just
from you.
For 51 weeks, 6 days.
He loves that gag.
Hello, thank you for listening, everybody. We're live at the Super Bowl. It's a new episode. Hey, Westwood One has really gone all out and spared no expense. They're our network, and it's Friday. January 26th, and the phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. 877-365-3636. I don't think, do I not have the Elvis music here? Is that the one thing we don't have here?
Oh, that's one thing that slipped my
Lisa,
mind.
Lisa.
Welcome.
She'll have it. She'll
Lisa,
have.
Punch it in, Lisa. Come
welcome
on, punch it in.
To my world. Good job, Lisa.
There you go. And welcome to the smell of cheese.
Won't you come on in?
Surrounded by collectors, surrounded by fans,
surrounded by colleagues, Don. Colleagues in the wonderful world of radio.
That's right. Jim Rome.
Ah,
Sports Chicks with Dicks. Bob Golic.
Jesus.
Caro Yefremian.
We are having a good time today, aren't we?
This is a CF. As always, this Super Bowl CF is built with
built
you in mind.
With you in mind. Built with you in mind.
And as predicted, when we sang Built With You in Mind,
we were very self-conscious.
Every head turned. All the heads over here to our left turned.
You know,
What? What?
It's fun. A broadcast like this.
Yeah.
It literally, I think for you and me, I don't know if you're like me, do you feel like the energy being sucked out of your body?
Well, yes.
It's something about the way we're all here in a cattle car.
And
sucks.
And to be honest, it's not as bad as... I know yesterday at this time I told you that I was having anxiety attacks already about the way that we were all going to be set up here at the Super Bowl ranch.
Right.
It's not as bad as it had been explained to me. And we actually, as far as locations for radio stations go, we have a decent location, but yeah, the problem is we're still elbow to elbow with every smelly disc jockey in the world, and they've opened it up to the general public.
When we're doing a show like this and we're in the confines, the intimate confines of our studio, it's actually a lot of fun. I mean, we go in there, we're so focused, we're pinpoint focused, then they throw you into a dormitory where you got 700 people that are doing the exact same thing you're doing.
And I think the thing is, we like going out and doing live shows, and we do remotes and we do live shows, but we're here today, and even now, the voice level that we're speaking at is drawing dirty looks from the other disc jockeys,
yes,
like because our loud voices are somehow bleeding into their broadcast. And I would just like to say, for the record, the reason that is that they have us 5 feet apart from each other.
It sucks.
But
that, you know, we live with it, we deal with it. And another thing is, anytime anybody connected with football comes walking down this radio row, they are descended upon,
yeah,
like ants on a piece of sugar at a picnic.
I mean, you should have seen the way that they are fighting over each other to talk to freaking Gary Premian and Nick Bunakanze.
Yeah, they're all over here. Everybody's here, and boy, it's sure exciting. But you know, it is fun to be here because we are at the site of the big game, and I still think that's exciting.
Now, we're happy to be here.
We're delighted to be here.
We're going to be playing our Super Bowl music throughout the show today. We're going to actually have a couple of guests, but for the most part, we're going to try to keep this a very normal program.
I agree, Don.
Oh, you're going
to? I think it's important.
This is a good way to start. Wait till people see you taking the microphone and put it down by your ass.
Hey, welcome to Tampa.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, do I get credit?
Okay.
I need some spray.
www.egars.com.
That is horrible.
The hottest cigar site on the planet. And don't worry, Mike, that smell is just going to mesh with every other smell.
That's right.
That's coming out of every other ass here on Radio Row at the Convention Center.
I've never enjoyed doing it more.
In Tampa Bay, Florida.
That, you know, that makes up for all the dud ones that I had back in Washington.
So we're here, and I guess we should start by telling you about our trip down here. And normally we're loaded with bitches and complaints.
It was pretty fun last night,
yes,
wasn't it? We really all had
a very good time.
A good time together, and it's you know, that doesn't happen as often as it should. We did. We had a wonderful time.
No, there was no screw ups at the airport. We arrived at the airport in plenty of time for the flight. We all had dinner together. We all had more than dinner together.
What are you looking at?
What, Charlie?
What are you giving me that goofy face for? What are you doing?
You started. I was just goofing back at you.
I look over at Broyhill.
Why? What's he doing?
I don't know.
Broyhill, who never even gives me an acknowledgement, and he gives me this, like, friendly smile, and it totally freaked me out.
But you know what?
I mean,
it's the different configuration.
Yeah. Right.
The fact that normally you and I are doing the show facing each other. Today we're sitting side by side.
Right.
Rob is actually here at the table with us, and Broyhill is sitting across from us.
Yes, he is.
And we're able to make eye contact with him for the whole show.
Oh, it's goofy. This is kind of the way it was last night traveling down here, too. A little goofy.
Now
just goofyisms.
We had no problems at all until we arrived in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, can I just say, the people on the flight, you know how I like my window? Yes.
You know how I we got on the flight early, and I sat down in the window. It wasn't really my seat, and then a lady wanted to sit next to her husband, and it's just everybody on that plane was so super cool. I wish I traveled with people like that all the time. Everybody, we switched. I don't think anybody in the first two rows had the same seats that they were assigned, and everybody was very cool about it, and I think that's nice. So we don't say a lot of nice things about people, so I thought I'd say one nice thing.
We're going to say bad things about people, but I guess
yes,
first,
we are.
First, Boomer's coming over.
Oh, this is exciting,
hi,
ladies
Boomer.
And gentlemen.
Hey, Jenny, come on now, Boomer.
How you guys
right.
doing?
Come
okay.
on. Boomer Esiason said, you know, we're not going to have a lot of guests today, but I was talking to Larry, and I said, you know, please ask Boomer
beg
to come over and
beg him
and to be on the friggin' show.
Well, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, and, you know.
I'm so sick and tired of talking about this game.
Well, we're not going to ask you a thing about the game.
Unbelievable.
How you doing? Let's talk about something totally different. Are you feeling good? Are you regular?
I feel good. I feel regular. I had my Metamucil this morning. Everything's
excellent.
Coming out nice and smooth.
That's good.
I think I told you during the season that Boomer was nice enough to come on the Redskins pregame show more than a couple of times this year and was a great guest, and we loved having him on. Boomer, what do you make of this? And I lump Mike and myself into this.
Yeah, we're part of this.
Into this giant, big ball of human feces that is called Radio Row. I mean, look at
it's
this.
It's insane. It really is insane.
Which is more disgusting, the disc jockeys or the fans?
I think the... looking at you, I know where I can go with this. But this is a part of the Super Bowl. This is the hoopla. This is what creates... I think when Pete Rozelle thought of the Super Bowl, he thought of marketing. He thought of separation of, you know, making his game, you know, more special than the other ones. And that's exactly what this thing has grown into. It's out of control.
Yeah, it is out of control. We were just saying a moment ago that when we come into an environment like this, we slowly feel all of our energy being sucked out of
us.
But
how about if the Redskins were here? How would you feel?
Well, I'd be psyched.
That would be unbelievable,
but
right?
Still,
right.
I'd be in a bad mood today. being here now. Now, Boomer, how many of these goddamn radio interviews have you had to do today, and how many more do you have to do?
One day only. CBS Westwood One requires me to do one day only. I'll do 10 today, and that's it.
Well, that's not bad.
That's it.
Well, that's not bad at all.
Well, that's a good deal for you.
Yes, it is a good deal, and I don't mind doing it. It takes about an hour and a half, and most of the guys are pretty good. You know, these are the guys that I talk to on the phone all year long doing promos for
right.
Monday night and all that stuff, so it's nice to be able to meet some of these people face-to-face.
So these guys generally are asking you all the boring stuff, like, you know, can the Giants defense, can the Ravens defense?
I don't know. I think so. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
And I really don't care. I'm not playing. I just want to have a good game because, you know, we are broadcasting the game. Howard David, this will be Matt Millen's last broadcast with us, and John Dockery and James Lofton will be down on the sideline. But I just want a competitive game like we had last year. And you can discuss strategy, and you can talk about the coaches' pressures and the players' pressures and all that other stuff. Because all this other minutia, you know, before the game is just that.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense.
I would tell you who had pressure this year. Boomer had pressure. And I want to tell you why Boomer had pressure.
Okay.
And listen, you didn't want to get into this on when we had the Monday night broadcasts, and I'm not going to drag in anything you don't want to talk about, just give you my opinion.
Okay? All right, you go ahead and give
my opinion.
I'm sure you're not going to hold back, are you?
My opinion is the same opinion that I told you off the air, that Al Michaels is a prick, and the problem is...
See, now, people think that I said that.
No. Said that. This is me.
The comments made by Mr. John Arbonne are just Mr. Armstrong's own. They do not reflect the opinions of Boomer Esiason, his family, or anyone else.
Here's the deal. Al Michaels is a prick. He's impossible to work with. And
he's humorless.
And the deal
well,
is...
he is, Boomer. He's humorless.
Is,
that's our opinion. I mean, he is.
Oh, that's your opinion.
Yes. The deal is this, the way we see this, that he talks one thing. He says, I love working with Boomer. And then behind the scenes, boom, he stabs him in the back. And Boomer's out. And then Boomer gets hired by Westwood One to do Monday Night Radio. So every single week that Boomer has to go to a stadium to call a Monday night game, a booth away, a couple of booths away.
Beaver miracles.
There he is. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
See, we're not going to say anything about that.
No, and we're not going to say
we're not
the gesture that you just made or the gesture that you just made. But I got to know, and listen, I do know how freaking tough it is to be sitting and doing your job, and you look down there, and he's got his goddamn mood lighting going, and he's got that hair weave or whatever it is he's got, and he's got his little bowl of peanuts in front of him. Man, that must have pissed you off this year.
Not one bit.
No, it didn't.
Matter of fact, when Joel Hollander, the president of Westwood, wanted to ask me to take the job, I said, you know what, I think I'm going to take the year off. He goes, you know what, don't make that decision right now. That was back in March when I was released. And then he called me back in July and he said, do you want the job now? And I said, you know what, I think I'll take it. And I took it for the sheer reason that I wanted to make sure that I was feeling the right thing about leaving. Like, I felt uncomfortable with the guy that I was working with, so I wanted to make sure to see if that and true was, you know, if that was the fact. And it sure was, because Howard, David, and Matt were great to work with.
You guys,
I mean, it was the opposite. I mean, it was...
Right.
So, I, you know, I say this often, and I don't mean this in a negative way. Those guys restored my faith in the broadcasting aspect.
Well, that's good to hear, because
if you
really
read into that, hold on, what you're saying is Al Michaels destroyed your faith in the broadcasting business. Excuse me, Mike.
Just remember this. I came from an aspect. Hey, Pat O'Brien, everybody. Actually, I came back, you know, from a team-oriented sport. You know what I'm saying?
Don't get him started on Pat O'Brien.
All right.
Look at him. Look at Pat O'Brien. Jesus.
We have Boomer Esiason.
Are you listening to me?
Okay, I'm talking to you. I'm sorry.
O'Brien.
Listen,
Boomer,
you're the one who said hi to him.
I know, but what I'm saying is that I came out of a team sport, the ultimate team sport, where you're counting on each other to cover each other's back.
Right.
You know, and I thought, you know, that's the way it was when you go into broadcasting.
Right.
I'm happy to say that that's the way it is.
Now.
Most of the time.
Yes.
Not all the time.
So you don't regret, you know, making that decision.
Not
which
at all.
had to really be anybody just on the surface would look at that decision to go from the TV booth to do the radio.
That it would be a come down.
But it would also be an extremely difficult decision on a variety of levels, and you don't regret it at all.
I had a whole bunch of reasons to do it.
Right.
And Joel Hollander even said to me, he goes, you know, Boomer, it might be perceived as, you know, a step down, it's not the TV. You know what? Matt stepped down, 2 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden everybody's fighting to take his seat.
Right.
So maybe it's not such a come down. I think it's a prestigious seat. I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard and Matt accepted me and allowed me to come in and bring all my stuff with me. And it was perfect. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because I found a place where I could say, you know what, there are good people in this business. It doesn't matter if the camera's on you or not. We're all broadcasters.
You got to be happy for Matt, too.
Oh,
I mean, this
God,
is everything. I've never heard a guy get more support for this move that he's making. Everybody says he's going to go in and he's going to do a great job.
He's a pretty down-to-earth guy. I mean, even as smart as he is about football, wouldn't you agree, really, that he's a great guy?
He is a great guy. You know, I sent him a book. There's a book on the New York Times bestseller list called Powers, the 48 Laws of Power. And it talks to you about, it's a Machiavellian theory in you know, short order. So I wrote him this letter saying, you know, now you are in shark-infested waters. You are no longer, you know, the most popular guy in the block where everybody wants you to be their friend so you can get their side of the story out there and protect them in a broadcast. You are now just one of 31, and the guys are going to be firing stuff at you. So
right.
Take this book, look at it. I think they should rename it How to Become an Asshole in 24 Hours. Because that's basically what it is.
Has this type of thing been his goal all along? Is this what he has wanted? Because I frankly, when I heard, you know, Matt's going to do this, I was very, very surprised to hear that.
No, not 2 years ago, I think there was talk that he was going to take that same job with Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby Ross had told Bill Ford Sr. that if you hire him, I'm leaving. Because
right.
Bobby Ross was in control there.
Right.
And then it finally came to fruition that, you know, Bobby Ross stepped down. Gary Moeller took all over. They won three in a row, and then they lost at the end, and they did not make the playoffs.
We should say what we're talking about. Matt Millen going to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, everybody knows that. President and CEO, right. Becoming the president.
Going to be king of the Detroit Lions.
So as soon as they missed the playoffs and didn't make it and lost the way they did at the end, you know, now all of a sudden the door was wide open again for him to kind of reestablish the Detroit Lions and his ties back to the Ford family, and that's what's happening.
Great.
I think he made a great hire, a young hire, in Marty Morningwig.
Oh, the new coach, right.
The new coach who was a quarterback coach for San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Much in the mold of a John Gruden, you know, a Herm Edwards, and this guy's a tough guy, and I think he's going to be perfect fit for Matt.
That's a great name for a morning show, too.
Marty
Morningwig, would you?
Marty in the morning.
How you doing? It's the Marty Morningwig get together.
But I think Matt has already made his imprint immediately. I mean, it's not easy hiring a coach, and then to do one where with a guy that really hasn't gotten much play and thought of as being a head coach,
right,
and putting him in there immediately, that's one decision that's been decisive, and he's already setting the course for the Detroit Lions, so I think it's great.
Getting back to the Al Michaels thing,
And, I'm sorry, I can't get away from it. How sweet was it?
What look he's giving you.
Once you got...
No.
Just tell me something, though.
Well, why do you want to ruin my day?
I'm not ruining your day.
I thought it was a nice guy. I came on your show.
Once you got past whatever animosity you had...
Which took literally about a month.
Okay. Then what I'm saying is, the last 4 months of the season, how sweet was it to know that he had to be pissed off that you're sitting two booths over and that you're getting rave reviews, yep, and people are saying, look, goddamn, the ratings for Monday Night Football Radio are up 15%. Right. The ratings for Monday Night Football TV are down. How much did you derive? I'm a very vindictive person like that.
Yeah, it sounds like
I would be happy.
Yeah.
I would just stick my head down the hall and just look at him and go, hey, I'm still here.
You know what? And I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to tell me to go somewhere. And I think it's, if there's a perceived failure, whether you're a football player, you're in business, you're broke, whatever it is, you know, somebody might tell you can't do something, and that's fine. But you know what? God damn, don't let them keep you down. You got to keep going. You just got to keep going forward and keep your eye on the goal. And the goal is to get yourself back to where you think you belong. And I think I've done that.
Well, good for you. And it took a lot of guts to do that. And I think a lot of people I know in the Washington area were pulling for you for that.
Oh, I know.
You know, when we first became enamored with Boomer is when he played for the Terps, for the Maryland Terrapins. We did our morning show.
I remember when Jess Atkinson told me they were roommates. I got all excited. I got all buttery.
Actually, I actually had two other roommates too, Frank Reich and Alan Sadler.
That's
you remember those guys?
That was a wild dorm room, man.
I met my wife at the VU.
At the VU in College
Tuesday
Park.
Tuesday night, ladies' night. I said, here, hon, here's a dollar. Go get me a couple beers.
You know, no kidding.
Beers. I didn't have any money back then.
Before you met your wife.
Yes.
When you were still single, being the cornerback of Maryland when they were a good team.
I had another girlfriend before her.
But how much did you get?
Your limitations?
I mean, was...
No, I didn't get... I was very good. I was very good.
But could you have...
I was very good.
Okay. Wait, I got you. You're very good.
I was very good.
You were very good.
Okay. I was very good. But by the way, my very dear friend is now the new head coach for the University of Maryland, Ralph Friedgen. He was on the staff with Bobby Ross when I was there.
Okay.
He was he is now the new head coach for the University of Maryland. He won the Assistant Coach of the Year award last year at Georgia Tech. He's a terrific guy, and I bet you guys will be back on that bandwagon before it's all over said and done with.
Go Terps.
Yes, baby.
Absolutely. He's fat than me and Mike put together, isn't he, though?
No, he's not. He's all right. He's fine.
He's gigantic. Listen, Boomer.
He's a gigantic man in the face of a football.
Tell this guy.
That's Howie Dinneroff. He's a pain in my ass.
Tell him. Wait, hold on. Now, Boomer's nice enough to come over. I want to plug the CF Foundation, okay?
So now get out of here. We just made you really feel like crap. Now
so
get out of here.
Don't be an MF.
He looks like Jim McClure's brother.
It's unbelievable.
Don't be an MF. Let us talk about CF, because this is something that I know Boomer feels seriously about, and we are happy to give you a forum to talk about your foundation.
Well, you know, Gunner, my son, suffers from CF. I think most people around the country know that of me. And Gunner's doing very well. He's 9 years old. My wife and I sit on a national campaign. It's called the Bridges to a Cure campaign. We've raised close to $50 million. $20 million of that came from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this other stuff, the broadcasting, it's kind of a goof. You know, I have fun with it. But seriously, 90% of my time is out there trying to be a face for CF. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to have a forum like this to exploit that. But I will tell you that there are parents all across this country that don't have the ability that I have to go out and speak on it publicly, that raise as much money as I do, that put their kids in the line of fire like we put Gunner, because we all know that we're this close, I mean inches away from curing this disease.
If somebody wants to, as listening right now, wants to help.
All right, the National Foundation is right in Bethesda, Maryland. The national office is right there, and it's 1-800-FIGHT-CF.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great organization.
It is. I've done, Mark Rippon had a golf tournament with them, and I tell you, of all the, you know how many you've done of those, and I've done a bunch of them.
The money goes where it needs to
go. They're fantastic people. They're really good people that are involved with that organization.
We have a leader, Dr. Bell, who is the chairman of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, Robert Bell, who does an unbelievable job of really making sure the money goes to the science, making sure that the money gets to where it needs to go. And as a parent and somebody who sits on the national board of the Cystic Fibrosis Roses Foundation. I can't think of a better way for us to spend our money, and that is to try to cure this disease.
Right.
If anybody in D.C. in the Capitol is listening, you give us 150 to 250, maybe 500 million, and maybe not build a B-1 bomber or something, we'll cure the damn disease.
And how is Gunner doing, if you don't mind us asking?
Yeah, he's nine. He's flying down today. You know, he's a big Super Bowl guy.
Right.
He's flying down today. He's nine. He's doing very well, all right. things considered. You wouldn't even know. And that's the scary thing about CF kids. When you see them, they're so cute and they're so, like, great, and they have such great personalities when they're young. You wouldn't even think of them as being sick.
Right.
But it's a ticking time bomb within inside of them, guys. And the one big part of the whole thing is, there are a lot of parts, but the big part of the bacterial infections within the lungs that develop. And that's the thing that we try to minimize as best we can through drugs and treatments and things of that nature. And since Gunner's diagnosis in 1993, two drugs have come from the test tube to the patient. I mean, in record time. And there are about 20 drugs that are in the pipeline right now that we're trying to get from the test tube mm-hmm. to the patients that deal with the symptoms of the disease. And if we can keep those symptoms down, then they live longer and healthier lives. And the cure, I'm telling you, will be during my lifetime.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't know whether it'll be in the next 5 years or the next 25 years, but right. it will be during my lifetime. I'm not a medical or a scientist, but all the things that we've seen over the last few years, I can tell you that we're going to cure this damn thing.
Well, give us the phone number one more time.
1-800-FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, CF. Fight CF.
Beautiful.
That's
we will
fantastic.
Continue to push
as always,
it.
I appreciate it.
Boomer, thank you.
Thanks, Boomer. Thanks for coming on the show.
Love having Boomer on. Love that.
Good guy.
F. Al Michaels. I tell you, guys, a super prick.
Yeah.
He really is.
You know, that when he was talking about his son, Gunner, that does put it in perspective, I think, when you're talking about, you know, all the trials and tribulations that he's had with,
do you believe in miracles?
Speaking about pricks, how about whoever that producer is for Westwood One?
You mean the Jim McClure look-alike?
Yeah, that, you know, listen, Boomer Esiason came over and spoke candidly about a lot of topics, and incidentally threw in an A-hole and a GD.
That was fun.
You know, and... So why not give him time to talk about his pet project? It's not until he starts talking about what's important to him that the guy really physically is pulling on his arm,
right,
trying to get him away because the Chicks with Dicks show wants to talk to him.
We could beat that guy up too, Don. We could really beat that guy up.
Who, Boomer or the producer?
No, not Boomer. Boomer kicked both our asses together. But I'll tell you, that producer, we could definitely take him.
Yeah, I know he hates Al Michaels.
That, you know, it was so funny.
I know he does.
And you've had him on before, and that was great. I mean, that was funny because, you know, he didn't say anything, and I think that there didn't seem to be a lot of strong disagreement.
Well, there was at one point, he was flipping the bird left and right when we were talking about Al Michaels, and he gave us the old J.O. motion. We were talking about how he left.
A lot of people in Washington, you know, have good feelings about Boomer, and everybody wishes him well, and he's really a nice guy. It was fun having him on the show.
I still maintain he's an albino.
Now let us deal with that once and for all.
I said that the whole time he played at Maryland.
No, but you saw him. He's a fair-skinned blonde boy.
He's an albino.
No, he's not Edgar Winter. He doesn't have those bunny eyes.
No, he could be in the movie Powder.
He doesn't have the red eyes, though.
Powder Esiason. He got the dead bunny eyes.
No, he doesn't. He does not have the dead bunny eyes.
Yes, he does.
What the hell is a dead bunny eye?
Well, that's, you know, I wanted to say
doll's eyes.
Yeah, Mike's right. It's a takeoff.
Have doll's eyes.
It's a takeoff. It's a play on doll's
right.
eyes.
Powder had doll's eyes.
He did.
Powder had the dead bunny eyes.
And take a look to your left. Look at that pompous Pat O'Brien.
That was so funny. That's when that's when Boomer was the most uncomfortable because you were starting to say something. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever told you, but your voice does tend to carry.
Look at him. Is he wearing makeup?
Wow.
He should be.
That's Charlize Theron?
No.
But it looks like her a little bit.
Who cares about the face?
Boy.
Look down underneath the face.
Boy, look at that. Wrigley Field, too, huh?
How about that?
Right on her chest.
Wow. Hey,
who is that?
Hey, Wendell, go ask who that girl is.
Yeah.
Ask if she's famous.
She's with that Rudy's friend. Remember that guy?
Is that Craig Fager?
No.
Yes, it is.
Well, we just want to know who the...
No.
There's a real hot girl in front of us.
Remember the guy that was, like, coordinating the
Sager's
trip to Rudy's
girlfriend.
House?
Who is it?
Sager's girlfriend.
Oh, that's Craig Sager's girlfriend?
You're kidding.
That would be Stacy. She's Craig's friend.
You are S-ing me.
Really?
That's his
girlfriend? No.
Wow. How does he afford...
That's your girlfriend?
That's your girlfriend?
His girlfriend.
That is not right.
How does he afford that?
I didn't hear what Rob said.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny, Rob.
Hey, come here for a minute. Come talk to us for a second.
Rob, we'll interview you.
Come here. Because this guy, Craig... Is it Craig Stager from...
Stager.
Was he from TNT, right?
I believe he's from TNT. And
he was the guy that was... Remember last year...
At Rudy's party.
He was the guy like
coordinated the
shuttle bus to Rudy's party.
Well, forget it. Listen, if she doesn't want to come over, I don't want to interview her. I'm amazed. She's a major POA.
Well, then that's the reason we'd like to interview her. Are you going to come over?
Come talk to us for a second.
Walk around.
No, she doesn't want to.
If you were with Craig Stager, would you want to come over here?
Just let me ask you. Can you hear me? Am my voice loud enough? Is it the money? Is it the money?
No.
No.
Okay. All right.
If it matters, I'm sure I make more. So does this man. Not that it matters.
You're very lovely.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, that was that. You know, they're rarely, we do a lot of these shows, but rarely do we completely stop a broadcast based on an attractive woman.
He should buy you shirts that cover you up more. Should buy you larger shirts.
How would you dress her?
Well,
as our chauvinism, you know, completely comes through.
I dress her exactly as she's dressed today, but I wouldn't bring her out in public dressed like that.
Absolutely not. You know, she's dressed really just with a little T-shirt and
yeah.
But what would you? I would say perhaps a parka.
Well, you know, and here's the perfect example. Last night when we left the station, when Frida came in, you commented to me about how hot Frida was looking.
I you know something, I mean that when I say that about
you. She is looking great.
My wife looks as good as I have ever seen her. She looked great at the Christmas party, and she looked great in that outfit. Now, did that?
And that's why, I'm telling you, my wife looks as hot as this babe we're looking at right now. And that's why I dress my wife now in clothes like that outfit she had on last night.
Well, that was a very nice outfit that she had.
It was a parka that covered up her chest.
Right.
And it covered up her ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it covered up everything.
You know, what I do with Laura, of course, is she simply doesn't see the light of day.
And Carrie, I put in nylons and furs.
There you go. Yeah, Laura, you'll notice that Laura didn't come to the Christmas party, you know, okay? Remember that little thing about the fact that the kids were sick or Laura was sick? It's not true. She's never coming out of the house.
And listen, nobody noticed that it's 2 years in a row she didn't show up either.
Yeah, there you go.
You know.
Absolutely. Okay, I confess.
Okay. Time out.
Have a good time, Mike. Have a good time. I'll be back here at the house in the closet.
Let's do a break because, you know, we never got to tell you what was bad about our trip down here.
It was nice talking to Boomer. That's a good way to start a Super Bowl show.
Yeah, he's a good guest. We're live at the Super Bowl. Let's start today's show with a call number 100 and a prize package. Oh, hold on. I got to reset this and turn this on. You damn touch those buttons.
Can I hit it again?
Go ahead. Be the 100th caller now, a prize package selected especially for you and a chance at $500 with the secret song. Phone number 877-365-3636. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are. God bless you. You got a f***ing gift.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Yes, you do.
Live from the Super Bowl, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Listen, we're called off on that... 100 Jazz.
Yes, because we have another celebrity guest.
Because Bonnie Bernstein is here. See, I told you she'd come back on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess.
Talented, intelligent, beautiful, wonderful Bonnie Bernstein.
Love you.
Now, as soon as I walk away from here.
No, not on this show.
There's
only,
you know, there's the one thing that's said, which was said in you know, strictly as a loving term.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
You keep saying that you meant that in the best possible way.
Yes, uh-huh. I did. I did.
Right.
Still do.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
You're fantastic. You're fantastic.
My mom thinks so.
No, come on. You are fantastic.
Well, thank you. What's up, guys? Nice to have you down here.
And look at you. Look at this outfit you have on today.
I had a turtleneck on. It was so cold this morning. This is the first day. Have you been down here all week?
No, of course not.
Is that a diamond?
Yeah.
Is that a real diamond?
Around your neck?
That's a big rock.
Who'd you get it from?
Didn't we, the last
Mom
time we had you
on?
Oh, really? Was it Mom and Dad? Is that's not true. Is that really true?
I wish it were true.
this act is not going to play with us. This act that...
You guys were supposed to find me a husband the last time we talked, and you've done nothing.
Well, the thing is, have you met Wendell Hall, our engineer?
What was the driver? What was the name of the driver?
As a single man, Wendell Hall.
It was Richard. Hello, Wendell.
Richard. Richard, the limo driver. Now, at the time, though, he was married.
You totally threw him under the bus, no pun intended.
Do you know who's another single man? Oh, I don't know if we discussed the last time, but our fantastic producer, Charles Loring Boyd.
I like Ray Lewis or something.
Charlie, how old are you now?
36.
You're 36. It's about time you start thinking about a serious relationship.
It is.
I can't think of... I'm not going to do that to Bonnie.
No, let me ask Bonnie. If she was going to consider Charlie as a boyfriend, here's what you have to think about. What do you think about taking 2 pills a day?
Because 8 pills
aside
is a hassle.
My multivitamin and my vitamin C, I don't know, I can take much more than that.
Haven't you seen those herpes ads where they say eight pills a day was a hassle?
It's a hassle.
Yes.
So I just let it happen.
But, or the genital warts one.
Oh. Well, that's
not that you have them.
They were Lance.
Oh, God.
So what are you going to be doing during the game on Sunday?
I'm doing Giant Sideline.
Giant Sideline.
That'll be fun.
For me, my life is kind of coming full circle because I grew up in New Jersey. And grew up watching the Giants.
So I grew up in Connecticut, and I did the same thing. And so it's kind of cool when the Giants are in
Super
Bowl.
Well, see, I thought for sure that I would be doing Ravens sideline because I worked so much within the last few weeks. Mm. And then when the assignments came out, I mean, it doesn't matter to me either way. The fact that I'm doing it is just really cool.
I enjoy when I'm watching the games when they at halftime, when they go to a shot, and you don't have the coach quite yet, and you're like...
And you're running, and you're reading the microphone.
You're screaming at him, and they go, let's go to Bonnie. And then the show on the screen that, you know, the coach is running, virtually running
away.
Running
away from you.
I don't know if it's you we asked this, or we asked someone else that was a sideline reporter, that the coaches are under no obligation in the NFL to give you that interview, and it always seems that. You guys all do such a good job that when they go to you, we've got the coach here, we've got Jim Fossil here, it looks like it's totally prearranged, but you have to kind of run him down and
well,
get him there.
No,
right?
we have to ask them the day before when we see them in our production meetings. Yeah, and if we don't ask them, then we can't get them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So
we have to have that discussion, and every day before they leave, coach, is it okay if I get you at halftime?
Have you ever not done that and had the coach just walk away when you?
No, I have. You know what happened a few weeks ago? In fact, I got Brian Billick before we kicked off. I just got a quick soundbite with him, and it turned out that we wanted to get him at halftime too, but we had only asked about pregame and not asked about halftime at the production meeting, so that was a technical faux pas.
Oh, wow.
And so we didn't get
it. I didn't know it was that that strict.
It is. There are so many stringent rules, and this is 10 times better than it was just 2 years ago. They have really loosened the reins on sideline reporters. I mean, we used to not be able to do anything.
Who is the biggest prick coach who you've tried to talk to and won't talk to you?
You know, I wouldn't say he's the way you referred to it.
Who's the most uncooperative?
There are some coaches who just have steadfast policies, and Bill Parcells was one of them.
Bill Parcells.
Bill would not do halftime, and what's interesting is that so many of his disciples are the same way. Bill Belichick is real tough to get, and I've got a good professional rapport with him, actually a pretty good personal relationship with him, too. And he wouldn't
do really?
It.
Hey, Rob,
well,
Rob, you behave yourself. I heard that. Yeah, that's Rob that did that. Did you hear that? Woo!
Well, you know, it's a personal relationship. He's a good-looking guy. And
no, I don't mean that way.
Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick looked like he just checked out of the mental ward.
Yes, but he's doing better.
When you work with coaches long enough, you get to that comfort level where you can call them and just kind of shoot the breeze and talk about other teams and talk about other games. And even though you're not doing their game, they provide a lot of insight to other things that you might not have thought about. So, I mean, that's what I mean. But even Belichick wouldn't do a halftime interview with me.
So does the Red Sea part when you're going to one of these coaches after a game, do you actually have a situation where
you're
other
reporters?
Is that a hygiene question?
No, it is not a hygiene. Now stop that.
You're
behave yourself.
You're beating your way through players. I've almost gotten run down trying to get to the coach, chasing them down for a halftime interview. They don't. The players don't say, oh, excuse me, pardon me.
So I mean, the reason I'm asking all this about getting these on-field interviews is because you have to be kind of a pit bull to elbow people out of the way.
I am.
I mean, you seem
really
a nice person, but like on game day, you're like, excuse me.
I'm sure you could be quite a pain in the ass.
Before the game, and it's not only, like, I'll be trying to get last-minute injury information, because a lot of these guys will be game time decisions. So you go out and you try to make a note of, okay, how early are they working out? If they've got an ankle, are they really trying to work on their lateral movement? Are they okay moving north and south? So you're trying to gather all this information. Will they start? Won't they start? But I'm like, a lot of the toughest work I do on game day is before the kickoff, because I'm always trying to get last minute stuff. And the PR guys, somebody, the Dolphins PR guy, I saw him the other day, and he said something that was so, one of the most flattering things I've ever heard. He said, "I don't know anybody who works as hard before the game as you do." And that really meant so much, because I know I'm doing my job.
Can I tell you something flattering, and maybe you'll find it flattering?
I would eat
the corn out of your poop.
Oh my God,
that's one step up from eating crackers in my bed. So you've really taken it up a notch.
That's a high compliment on his scale of compliments.
Coming from him, I guess I should say thank you.
I know that you go on with the sports guys on our station WNEW. Is that the most effed up station you've ever heard in your life? Our New York station WNEW.
I know you guys are supposed to be family. You're supposed to be promoting.
I'm not talking about taking sides here. I'm just saying, as an object listener of WNEW, isn't it the most effed up station in the world?
They're rotating. I think they're rotating a lot of guys into the show now because their host left.
Oh, I don't even mean the sports guys. I mean just
the station. I don't know that I've heard any other shows on.
Well,
station,
due to management, Bonnie. Due to management, it is a station in total disarray. It's crumbling at its foundation, and things are.
And you guys are doing great.
Well,
I think
great is a relative term in our case.
I don't know.
It depends how you define great. If you define greatness as a 1.2 rating, then yes, in fact, we are great.
We are great.
We are great. Now, if you're a realist, we suck.
Maybe it's because I've been listening to you guys for so long that I don't even look at the ratings. But, I mean, I've been listening to these since...
So you don't need ratings in front of you to know our greatness. By listening to our show, you are aware.
You came to the Mustang Ranch in Reno when I was 24 years old.
Right.
I thought that was pretty impressive.
And listen, and what are the odds? You know, we're going to be going to Reno. Now listen to this. We're going to be headlining.
It's a big moment for us.
We are headlining at...
Drum roll, please.
We are headlining at Harrah's. In Tahoe.
Lake Very Tahoe. Nice. A casino hotel. Real showbiz.
Tahoe's a step up.
Yeah.
And the people in at our station in Reno, they keep saying, "Oh, Bonnie is from out here. Bonnie will come out."
Do they bring my name up still?
Yes. Ask Journey, don't they?
Do they really?
They do, yes.
Huh.
They do. Okay. Would there be a chance, if they would pay your way out,
to come out to Reno?
Would you come out and be
Absolutely.
On stage with us?
I would love to.
Okay.
I still have really good friends who live out. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
We'll consider that a deal then.
Absolutely.
Our first date.
That's right.
You got to start somewhere, Charlie.
Bonnie Broyhill.
Now, did you mean our first date, your first date with her, or did you mean all of us?
Oh, no,
not all of you.
That would be so much fun.
No, okay. This is Charlie Broyhill. He's not including us in anything.
That's right.
He's not including the old married man.
You guys home. I'm on a mic show with Bonnie Bernstein next.
So if the station will pay your way out,
absolutely,
and we're talking, of course, you know, at least business class.
Mike almost lost.
Oh, nothing but the finest,
sure.
For Ms. Bernstein.
We'll at least put you underneath with the largest pieces of luggage.
That's right. Well, then we'll count on seeing you then.
That would be great.
And you do a great job during the games. No BS. And,
no BS.
You know, and not to mention the fact, you know, like I said, really, I'd pick out the pieces of corn.
Okay, all right, enough.
With my fingers.
Well, at least have a choice of vegetable. I mean,
you name it. You name it. It's because, well, corn is always enjoyed a second time. Corn, for some reason, passes through the body.
I know. Peanuts. I've heard beans, maybe, but corn.
All right, I'd eat the peanuts, Addie.
Peanuts.
All right.
Okay, listen. Let's shake hands. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie.
And Bonnie, I guess we'll plan on seeing you a month from now in Reno.
I will.
Charlie, really work that out.
I will.
Charlie will take the details. Before the NCAA tournament starts, I'm there. Definitely.
Okay, it's a deal.
Wonderful.
Okay.
That would be wonderful, and I know all our listeners out there would love to see you.
Sure.
Yes.
Great.
And wouldn't that be great? We come on stage at Harrah's Tahoe.
I'm not wearing a flamingo hat.
You know what we do?
Oh, you're not going to wear one of those funny hats?
It would be essential to bring Bonnie Bernstein on stage at the beginning of the show, because if she stuck around to see the show, she might not come on stage with us.
Yeah, we'll just bring her out at the very beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning. And then we'll
go gamble. I'm starting to wonder, because I'm visualizing this. I'm coming out in one of those Las Vegas outfits with the flamingo, and I've got the card like the boxing ring.
Yes.
Yes, boy. But you must have
feathers.
You must have jumped peeked into our fantasy and seen it.
All right, we're going to have to talk about it, but I'll do it.
And then we all get together and we just eat bushel after bushel of corn. Well, get out of here. Go do what
you
have to do. Bonnie, we'll watch you on TV on Sunday.
Thank you.
On the Super Bowl.
That's
Bonnie
Bernstein. She's always very generous to come on our show.
You know, and Charlie, really, work it out, because the Reno people are always saying that that little whore will come out and be on our show.
Oh, you.
And out there, it's legal.
I only mean that in the
news. I know,
right.
I know.
She's a great sport.
She's a wonderful sport. Wonderful to have her. You know, she's slowly but surely moving into the Leah category of longtime media friends that we have.
You know, that might be a very good who would you do. Of course, now I'm biased since I was just staring at Bonnie Bernstein for 10 minutes.
I'm not, you know what, I'm going to get in trouble. We're going to get in trouble no matter what we say on this, but I will tell you right now. No, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say what I'm going to say.
Let's do it.
I'm not going to say what
I'm going to say. Who would you do?
It's a no-brainer.
Bonnie Bernstein or Leah Remini?
I love both women. They're both
beautiful. Who would you do, though? Who would you do?
You're setting me up.
Why don't you both write it down?
Okay.
And you can reveal them at the same time.
All right. So that way, neither one of us is setting the other guy up.
Write it on a napkin.
There's my answer, Charlie.
That's my answer.
Did you write a gag answer or a real answer?
No, I wrote a real answer.
What's done? Do the answers match?
Yes, they do.
Way to go. Way to go.
Can I tell you something
more for me?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I lied.
I did too.
Okay.
That's good.
I lied.
We both set each other up. That's fun.
I lied.
No, that. Bonnie, let me just say.
I love it when you refer to her as an inanimate object.
That is one fine. That is one fine lady.
That's right.
That is one fine. Hey, you know, I believe her when she talks about when I said, "Where'd you get that diamond?" And she said, "My parents gave it to me."
No,
I think she's career oriented.
She's got some guy like Jason Sehorn.
No way.
Giving her the bologna pony.
Craig Sager. How come we didn't give her a piece of pie? Is that pie, Charlie?
That's my leftover lunch.
That is the rest of Charlie's sandwich and French fries from lunch. And look at how protective he is of them as he grabs them.
No.
Can I have a fry? Thank you.
God damn, Charlie, you're cheap with your food.
What an ass.
One fry.
I don't trust him. A nice cold fry.
What, and you don't like the fry now? You don't like the fry?
It's gross.
Did you think it was going to be warm?
It just says it's greasy. It's not crispy. Crispy.
Hello.
Yeah, but I think that we are smitten with Bonnie Bernstein like we are with Leah.
This time, really. Let's do this, not like rock, paper, scissors. Seriously?
All right.
Who would you do?
Okay.
Bonnie Bernstein or Leah Remini?
This one counts. This is the good one.
Here we go. Okay. All right.
No silliness.
The definitive word.
Do they match?
No, they do not.
Oh, really?
Ha ha. Oh, okay.
Ha ha.
Good. Did you still lie?
Yeah. I didn't.
I didn't think so.
I didn't that time.
I'm afeard. I fear Ms. Remini. They're both beautiful. What a lovely choice to have. To have the choice of betting either one of those two.
It's a win-win.
I can't think that Leah would be mad if it got back to her that we would rather...
It's a matter of loyalty. Who's
rather
loyal
screw there? Bonnie Bernstein than screw her.
Hey, look, it's Ted Williams.
Where's Sammy? Hey, Sammy. Oh, no, that's Ted Williams my 25 years ago.
Yes.
There's no way that that's Ted Williams as he is today.
That's
the fag. All right, well, thank you, Bonnie Bernstein. Excellent. Look at, you know, again, I hate to keep drawing attention to Pat O'Brien, but look at him over in the corner. You know what he's got going? Here's what he's got going.
Boy, right. Is he stunning.
He's doing, I told you one time, me and Frida were... somewhere skiing, where a bunch of famous people were, okay? Oh, it's the time that she thought she saw, she rode on the ski lift with JFK Jr.
Okay.
Okay, so we're in a lodge, and William Shatner comes into this ski lodge, and what he does is, he sits in a corner.
Right.
facing everybody,
mm-hmm.
so that as everybody comes into the lodge,
they will see him.
They will see him, and that is exactly the strategic pose that Pat O'Brien has got now. He has his feet up in the air.
You know what I see when I see him?
What?
Where can I get those glasses? You know, I'm an aficionado now of the old man tinted glasses. And when I see Pat O'Brien, that's what I think.
And why is he all bundled up in a trench coat?
Because it's cool, man.
Yeah, because he's Pat O'Brien.
That's Pat's right. Always ready.
And he's no longer Pat O'Brien from sports, right? He does that
entertainment.
Access Hollywood.
Access Entertainment Hollywood show. Right, okay.
All right.
You know, maybe at some point we'll...
Oh, my God, it's Rudy Martsky.
All right, let's go to break. I don't want to talk to him.
What about the winner?
Hey, there he is. Now he's coming around. He was, like, bounding over here, and then he realized...
The winner of what?
The 100th caller.
100?
No, thank you, Charlie.
We must do.
Thank you. Yes, let's get a call 100 right now. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, listen, thank you for waiting. You know, we could not contain ourselves with Bonnie Bernstein. Who is this, please?
My name is Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. Where are you from?
I'm coming from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful. Daryl, caller number 100, and the prize we have for you, I don't have prize sheets.
Oh, yes, you do. Hold on a sec.
Hold on. Lisa, just tell him.
Actually,
what's he win?
Don?
Yeah.
Don, I'm calling from Pittsburgh, but I live in Towson, Maryland. I'm sorry, I should have said that. My fault.
Hold on. I got it for you right here. You have won tickets to WWF SmackDown. See over 40 of your favorite WWF stars live at MCI Center March 6th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning at 10 through the box office and Ticketmaster outlets. Enjoy your wrestling tickets. Now you're going to go for $500.
Okay.
Secret Song number 4. This was a top 10 hit in the 80s. We need title and artist. Please don't answer till Mike sings like
Frank Sinatra.
Give
me the modern ones.
It is a time machine with you.
All right, Rob's writing something down.
Pat O'Brien.
Okay.
All right, I'll take Pat O'Brien.
All right. Okay.
Good luck. Godspeed.
Thank you.
You have to play it off there. You're on your grid.
Hold on a second. I've got them here. I didn't realize that.
It's on the grid, man.
Caller.
It's on the grid.
Towards the bottom, second row, I think.
Second row. No, I've got
tight.
No, I don't got it here.
Listen, did you hear Broyhill?
F you, Broyhill. Look what I got here. I got That's Right, Oh, We're Sorry, What's the Buzz. Mm-hmm. I don't got it here, Robbie.
It was in here.
See, and Charlie said tight because that was one of Rob's jobs to make sure that all the tapes were here.
Are we on the air?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I know this. Amazingly, this sounds like college radio that we're not on the air, but we are on the air.
Has somebody added to Rob's responsibilities?
Lisa, would you please play the tapes?
Caller, name this secret song.
There it is. Love that song.
Oh,
and
now, Lisa, man.
Now, hold on, Lisa. We need the think about it music. You know, it's amazing to me that this is on the air.
It's amazing that we're still broadcasting. That's today's show.
I'd like to point out that the money that we're giving away, if we have a winner, is courtesy of Main Street Title. And now, Pat O'Brien.
Look at me. I'm a silly ass. A real silly ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, for $500, and you are still on the air, what is that song?
I got to say, Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield.
Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield. No, not right.
No.
Thank you, though, and a good guess. Don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you.
Thank you for listening, my friend. God, what a mess that was.
But that's okay. We held it together. You know, there's a reason, I believe, why the timing of this show in the last 2 minutes went kind of haywire.
Why?
Him.
Rudy's here. Hi, Rudy.
Hi, Rudy.
How you doing?
Rudy Martsky from USA Today,
doing,
ladies
guys?
And gentlemen.
How you doing, Rudy?
Good to see you, Rudy. Well, now we're scrambling. We're getting the people here.
All right. Here's our deal.
Yeah.
We're on a schedule. We got Boomer Esiason already. We got Bonnie Bernstein.
Fantastic guests. Yeah. Both great interviews, both of them.
Who can you supply in the next hour of Big Time Super Bowl Radio?
In the next hour, Jim Nance.
Oh, now him we'd love to. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's okay.
Owner?
After 5 o'clock, I know Jerry Glanville will be coming by in his bus, his giant bus, which is bigger than the Madden bus.
Jerry Glanville, he's
Jerry
never been on
Glanville's
the show before. Jerry Glanville's
been involved in a Jocks and Rocks, some kind of MTV. He's the host of that, and he gets, they're done at 5, he's coming by right after that.
Okay. All right, well, great.
Well, there's some more.
That's good. Great, real good.
Then we're going to go with the original plan of just doing a regular show, like we thought we would.
Very good.
Mouse, how the hell are you? Look at Mouse all fixed up.
Mouse, you look wonderful.
Hey, give Mouse the microphone. Let's say hello to Mouse.
It's been another year since we've
Mouse
seen you. Survived
you.
Another year with Rudy, Mouse. How's it going?
Another Super Bowl with Rudy.
Another Super Bowl. And you guys already had your big party, right, last night?
We had it last night.
How was
it? You missed it. It was great. Who's
a good one?
Who showed?
Everybody.
Who's everybody? Give me some names, Mouse.
Jim Nance was there.
Yeah.
Nick Bonacani was there.
Rob's a big fan.
Randy Cross.
Randy Cross, gee, I wish we could.
It's a little hazy for me at the end, but you know how it is.
Jerry Glanville and his boots.
Wow, I wish we could have been there.
That's fantastic. Well, I lost my windscreen.
Too bad we arrived so late.
That's too
bad.
You
know, it's only the Randy Cross factor.
He is outstanding, I guarantee you.
Oh, he's outstanding my ass.
I saw him on 2 shows a couple days ago. I'm guarantee you on him this time. He is going to blow you away, Don.
Oh, Randy Cross?
Yes, and you know what?
What?
He's coming over here, too. I forgot to mention his name.
Oh.
And here's what?
We got to sign off right now.
And what?
Hates the Ravens.
Well, then we'll have him on.
Yeah.
Then we'll have him on.
Very good.
All right. Rudy Mouse, go get us people. Nice seeing you guys.
Good to see you guys.
We love the Marnskis.
Always a pleasure.
Rudy is always our fantastic host.
You know, we don't say this enough for the Super Bowl.
And for people that throughout the year when we have these great sports guests on the show, Rudy's the one that does that for us, and we are eternally grateful. Yeah, we sure are.
He's a good man, Rudy. You playing golf this weekend?
No.
Thanks a lot.
You know what? That is a sign to me.
That I'm desperate?
Of how desperate you are to find someone to play with.
I know.
Because I've seen the progression. Here's the progression.
Right.
Mike first asked Larry Michael what he was doing tomorrow.
I play tennis. I don't play golf.
Then he called EB from the Sports Junkies.
Right. And he asked me how much it costs.
And then you ask Rudy,
yeah.
Which says to me, you are really desperate for a buddy to play golf with tomorrow.
Hey, Rob, would you like to learn?
Not today, Mike, but thanks.
All right, listen, we got to do a break, come back, tell you about our trip down to Florida. Alan, we got the brand new low budget Jeff Bardee.
All right.
And I think Buzz is not with us, but Buzz is back at the station. We're planning on having news and comments today. Buzz, can you hear me?
Yes, it's lovely here, isn't it?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
You know, we could try to do that fake thing where we pretended like Buzz was actually here with us.
Yeah. Buzz is sitting off to our right here, and Buzz, yeah. You got a lot of sun at the pool this morning.
Yeah, maybe
you?
A little too much. It's so nice here. I can't believe it.
It's 42 degrees this morning.
Hey, Buzz, you got a gigantic booger hanging out of the side of your nose, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get that.
Okay. See, Buzz is back at home station. Too cheap to fly him down. But Buzz, don't worry. Uh-huh. We are going to bring you back some nice white shoe polish.
Excellent.
Thank you, Buzz. We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The story about the wackiest, sexiest, fun-filled place to take your girl. The Groove Room. A place where lights flash, machines spark, and the people get more turned on than the electricity. The Groove Room. Somebody just had to invent a place like this. Take off your inhibitions and have some fun in The Groove Room. The Groove Room. Rated X for adults. From Independent International. Capturing the excitement of Super Bowl XXXIIIII. It's Don and Mike.
I'll tell you how cheap we are.
Capturing the excitement.
We didn't have the budget to have a session for Dude Walker to say Super Bowl XXXV. So we went back where he said Super Bowl XXXII.
And edited in an extra I?
Three extra eyes? Yes.
That's good.
That's how cheap we are.
And we are capturing the excitement in a pen, a stinky pen with 5 million other radio personalities.
Now listen, Randy Cross is here, and Rudy has brought him by.
Hey, Charlie, he can't hear. Charlie, he needs his headphones.
Number three? Gotcha, hold on.
Randy, Mr. Cross.
Let me fix this out. Is that better?
Too many years of IFBs and cans and all that other stuff.
Absolutely. You deserve to hear what we're saying.
Gotcha. First, The first question, and we're gonna ask everybody on the NFL today this, because Jim Nance is on our show on a regular basis.
Right.
How unbalanced?
What, you do a lot of golf?
No, no, no. He's just, I mean, he's on our show. He's a caller on the
show.
For
football?
Just in general.
Wow.
How unbalanced is Jim Nance? I mean, seriously, mentally.
We've always speculated, and he's a friend of the show, and we've interviewed him often. But we always, when the interviews conclude, we always are concerned, thinking that he might be wrapped a little tight. That we think he might be up on top of the building with a gun one day.
Well, he can at times really come off as kind of a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, he's a nervous man.
Yeah,
he's a man on edge. And we just want to know, we always ask anybody that's associated with that show how he's doing. So how is Jim Nance doing? Is he recovered?
He's just fine. I think the hives will probably clear up by Sunday.
Very, very defensive he is also. We give him a compliment about the show.
Right.
And he immediately turns it around and says, well, what? You like this part of the show? Don't you like this part of the show? We say, hey, we read that your ratings are up. Oh, yes, but they're up more than they were 2 years ago. I mean, he's wound way tight, right?
I guess the reason we bring this up, Randy, is that we are just wondering if, you know, sometimes on the set you don't see Jim maybe sitting in a director's chair off in the corner having a nice conversation with himself.
Kind of rocking back and forth. Yeah.
Holding his knees to his chest. Yes.
I'm a wonderful co-host. A wonderful co-host.
Right, you get it.
No,
right.
He's fine. He has been so much fun to work with. I worked the last year CBS had football last time. I worked games with Jim.
Right.
We did a playoff game and all that other fun stuff. And it's been nice in another environment now to spend a couple of years with him. Totally different, where he doesn't have to, like, cram like crazy to do, you know, a game and whatnot and doing all of them at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how he can think of all those different things at once, especially in half times and everything else. It's no wonder he is in the state he's in.
He's a good guy.
We hear that unlike many people here who are afraid to give an opinion one way or the other, we've been told that you will outright spew hatred for the Baltimore Ravens.
I will spew hatred?
That's what we were just always saying.
That's just our intelligence. We got some information that
you mean because I think they'll win the game, but I don't like the team? That type of thing?
Yeah, roll with that, Randy.
My favorite scene last week, and there's a lot of great scenes in Oakland, was a huge sign in the parking lot that said, imagine this, we're the good guys.
That's pretty funny. That is pretty funny.
Now, you know what? I don't want to, you know, we don't do a sports show.
Yeah.
But I want to know your thoughts about something. I told Mike the other day, and I think, when Billick came on Monday,
right,
screaming at the media about Ray Lewis, it was a calculated move.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think it's a calculated move because he cares about Ray Lewis. I think it's a calculated move because Ray Lewis is the best football player on the planet, and he's trying to circle the wagons so that all of the Baltimore Ravens say, my God, look what they're doing to Ray. Let's go out and kick ass. Do you think that's true or not?
Well, first of all, I do not think he's the best football player on the planet. I think he's a very fortunate, extremely talented athlete who's got guys to play with him that make him look awfully good. But Brian Billick did what he did because he knows the mental state, the psyche of his football team. He's harbored this whole us against the world, everybody hates us, who cares what anybody thinks, although they're the first ones to remind you when you rip them.
Right.
What it did is it sort of like further drove this team together. I mean, they have got a cockiness and arrogance. I guess the best way to put it is, going into this game, I get the impression the New York Giants think they're going to win the game. The Baltimore Ravens know they're going to win the game and don't mind telling anybody that'll listen why, how, when. You know, they're almost disappointed they won't have the rings for them in the post-game ceremony.
You know, the reason I agree with Don when he said this just the other day is because I can't think of, in the NFL, a greater motivator than to have that mindset going into the game. Man, they all hate us. Everybody hates us. Everybody's against us. And it would work you up into a frenzy. I mean, it's negative motivation, but it's motivation nonetheless, don't you think?
It's something for now.
Right.
You know, they're not exactly building up a lot of love and endorsement time.
Right.
You know, I think around the country as far as, you know, how many people are going to love the Baltimore Ravens, but they don't care. They care about
winning
this week. They care about this Sunday, those particular 3.5 hours or so, getting this thing out of the way, winning, and getting on with whatever comes next.
So you think they're going to win, but you hate them.
You look at these two teams, it's easy. I mean, it's difficult not to like the New York Giants. They got the Kerry Collins story, the whole story around the Giants, Tiki Barber, Michael Strahan, Armstead. I mean, the whole Seahorn, the Pretty Boy, the whole thing. And by the same token, it's really hard to root for and kind of like the Baltimore Ravens just because of the way they project themselves and the way they present their football team.
Do you think you're a pretty boy?
Do I think I'm a pretty boy? Yeah, an offensive lineman?
No. Come on.
I don't think so.
Come on. I mean, I've seen the stuff on NFL films where, right. You know, you're on the sidelines with Joe Montana right. after the game. And, you know, I'm no fag, but you're a good-looking guy.
I would consider you a pretty man for an offensive lineman.
I used to, but now I work with Craig James.
Yeah, and he is dreaming.
You know, so
he is
dreaming. He gets the boy toy tag. So I mean,
all right, well, get out of here. It was wonderful talking to you.
Randy, you're outspoken. We appreciate it. Give our very best to Jim Nance. Work on, you know, if you don't know CPR,
right.
Learn it. Working
yeah,
with him.
He hyperventilates a little. Like I said, those hives should all be gone. You won't be able to see but a few of them by the time the game starts.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
All right, guys. Thanks,
Randy.
Have a good time on Sunday.
That's good. Jim Nance. And I guess Jim couldn't make it live. He's going to maybe call.
Are we going to have Jim on the phone? Is that what we've agreed to?
He's going to try to call now.
He's going
to
try to call.
He was on the field rehearsing a piece, and then they're going to film it.
he's getting his therapy right now.
He's getting massage therapy right now.
There you go.
Okay. You know, hey, okay, that was okay. That, yeah. You have to admit, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was great.
It was okay.
Right.
It was okay.
You know what?
I still, you know, what?
He's not a pretty boy, but he wouldn't put headphones on his hair.
I know.
Not a pretty boy, though.
That's right.
That's right. He wore them around his neck.
Yeah, like a stethoscope.
Like right,
this.
Yeah.
This way, and it kept sliding down.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Look at Bonnie bending over.
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, my
oh.
God. Oh.
Oh.
The show is now officially stopped because we were all staring at Bonnie Bernstein bending over a
burning.
Table.
Burning.
We're burning for Bernstein.
There's something there. All right. Well, thank you, Randy Cross. And look at that. What restraint I had. Really, what a pussy I am. Because
he could kick both our
If
heads.
I was a man, I would have asked him about those gigantic teeth of his.
You can't challenge the football players when they're sitting across you because they'll kick our ass. It's that simple.
When he sat down. I wrote on a piece of paper, teeth. I just circled it and held it.
You know, that's great. Like, the minute we start the interview, Don shoves that in front of my face. And I spend the first 30 seconds literally chewing on my lower lip to keep it from...
Rob would fake teeth in. It looks just like Randy Cross now.
Rob. You know, this is really like having, to my immediate left, Satan. The Satan of the show.
No.
All right. Enough with that. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, I'm done with the guests now.
Very good. Well, we've had good guests and good interviews.
That's it. And, you know.
It's been fun.
Enough with the boring Super Bowl stuff. Hey, it's Chris Berman. That's just a big fat guy. Just some big fat guys. So, listen, we get here last night, and the plane arrives in Tampa. I don't know. Earlier than we thought.
The plane was fantastic. I'm going to say it, and we don't say it. And I tell you, I have flown on United Airlines 3 times in the last couple of months, and they are fantastic. They really are.
11:35, we arrive. We weren't supposed to get here till after midnight, so the plane gets here early. It's beautiful. We go down to the car rental counter because we're renting a beautiful minivan that we're all going to be spending the weekend in.
I cried, and I didn't tell you this. I didn't tell you this off air or on the air, but I cried.
Why?
Because I really thought you guys abandoned me.
No, you and I had a deal.
We did have a deal, but I'll tell you this, that my first suitcase came off, and you know I brought my golf clubs down here, and I'm waiting for them, and I keep looking at the little conveyor belt, you know, the baggage thing, the carousel is
yes,
it called.
Yes, right.
I look at the carousel, I look down at the rental counter, and I see you. I look back at the carousel, and I look down, and you're still there. Then all of a sudden, I see my golf clubs come out, and I grab the golf clubs, and I walk, and I turn around, and I look down at the rental counter, and you're gone.
Well, no, listen, this was the deal
we had. I know, but I mean, I was just looking.
Don't hit me.
I was just looking.
The deal we had was...
I was fine with it.
I said, you said, if you get the car, swing back around.
Right.
If the golf clubs come out.
Right.
give me a ride. And I said,
did you guys, all right, let me ask you a question. When you were at the rental counter, did you, when you got all the paperwork done,
yes,
did you go right or did you go left?
I went
did
right.
You went right. Okay. Then I understand.
Okay, so, but listen, even having said that, I don't know what difference the direction has.
Well, we did make a lap. We did look at people waiting for rides. We looked for you.
No, what you did was
We took a wrong turn. Remember, we took a whole lap around the airport.
You deliberately embarrassed me in front of a reporter.
Now.
You don't know the CF we went through with this car.
Well, I took a cab, and I think I got to the hotel in probably
hours before us.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
I know you did because we went to the Avis car rental place.
Four counters.
Now, first off, in the airport, they got four different counters. So I go right up to the Avis thing, right as you and I walked off the airplane together.
Right, yeah, and you got right up there, right?
There was no one in line. I walked up. The girl's got the reservation. She gives me the paperwork, and I said to Bart, okay, now, Uncle Mike is still waiting for his bag. Go find Rob and Charlie.
Right.
We'll go get the car, and we'll swing back around, and we'll pick up Uncle Mike. Now, here's where it all goes to hell.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Bart goes off to find Charlie and Rob.
Okay.
As it turns out, in the Tampa Bay airport, there are four separate Avis locations on all four corners of the airport.
That's because, Tampa Airport is a good airport for that. They do get, like, awards for the convenience. Did you have a problem with the convenience?
Well, this was the problem with the convenience. The problem was that Charlie and Rob went to a different Avis place,
okay,
than the one that we were at. So I called Charlie up, and I said, I've got the stuff for the car. Where are you guys? And Charlie says to me, I'm at Avis. Where are you? And I said, hey, Dickface, I'm at Avis. Where are you?
How could you be at another Avis? I mean, because we came off the plane.
No. There's four of them.
But, I mean, where you and I were when we went down the stairs, that to me is the logical location.
But what happened after you got off the plane, you went left.
And you went right?
We went right.
And you just kept going.
And we went down.
See, if you'd gone left, you would have gotten off the escalator, and Avis would have been right there.
But when we went right, Avis was right there.
So
you're never more than 40 yards from an Avis counter in this whole damn airport.
So what happens is, now I've got the paperwork for the car, and I said, go find Charlie and Rob. Charlie, as I mentioned, says, I'm at Avis. I said, I'm at Avis. I tell you what, I've sent Bart to find you. I'm going to stay exactly where I am, where I'm watching you,
right,
watching you wait for your bags, and 10 minutes goes by, and I see Charlie and Rob come down. And I go, great, Charlie and Rob are here. Where's Bart? They said, we never saw Bart.
But remember, I said, do we have to wait for Mike?
No, F you.
Do we have to? Can we just leave?
No, hold on. At that point, Bart was not with us.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
I knew that, but I was saying, do we have to really ride with Mike? He's got those damn clothes.
He did not.
I think, frankly, I know you were standing at the counter. I think I left before you even got your paperwork.
So
I think you went, like, around the corner, and then you came back.
Now I'm standing there with the paperwork, with my bag, with Bart's bags.
And Bart's lost?
With Charlie, with Rob. Bart is lost. Okay, now, we bought him for Christmas this great thing, a watch that we can page him on. However, I don't know what the phone number is. So I call Frida. And it was at that time that I ate my first bowl of Scorn Flakes. Because I woke her up at midnight.
Oh, no.
And I said, hi, honey. And she said, why are you calling me? Is there a problem? I said, yeah, I don't know where Bart is. And she said, well, why don't you know where he is? And I gave her the whole story. And she said, well, what do you want me to do about it? I'm 2,000 miles away.
Right.
Incidentally, a theme that's going to be repeated throughout the next 12 hours.
So you're 2,000 miles away?
And what can she do about it?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you got to call him up on that pager.
Right.
And tell him to go back to the original Avis. She says, okay, I got to go downstairs and find the number. Why don't you have the number? I said, I don't know. Just please do it, please. And I hang up the phone. Meanwhile, Rob says, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to go to the white courtesy phone. I'll page Bart.
Right.
I think, great. We're standing there. What's the first thing I hear? Will B. Roy Hill please come to the Avis counter?
Like, so he's doing shtick.
Yeah, I look at him and I go,
that's because he took his goofy pills.
I look at him, I go, What are you doing? You know, my kid is lost in a major airport.
I gave Bart's name first. They only paged him first.
Right.
What do you do?
And it's also, you know, you're right, Mike. We should point this out, too.
Rob was medicated on the flight last
night. It was fantastic.
Rob had.
He was as goofy as anybody. But you didn't sleep, did you?
No. You know, though, I could have. But I had crossword puzzles.
He was, no. Rob, you couldn't have.
I bet I could have.
I am telling you, this medication you were on had one thing. It did one thing for you. It made you super goofy.
And I knew it, Rob, when we were driving over to the airport. At one point, I said to Rob, and it was, how long after you took your goofy
pills? Took the pills at like 6:30, so only 30 minutes into it.
I said to him, we're just driving down the road, and he had a glazed look at his eyes. I said, those pills have already affected you, haven't they? And he said, yeah, I feel like I've had four beers.
Yeah, it was like being between four and five beers, but for like 6 hours, and no hangover this morning. Please. I understand how Elvis got addicted.
And listen, we tried to have Rob mix alcohol with his prescription.
We did. Yeah. We were saying, you know something that'll cap off that prescription medication?
Yeah, one
will
beer.
Be a nice beer.
And you would have seen all four orders of jalapeno poppers come popping.
He wouldn't do it. So he pages Bart, but instead the page is for B. Roy Hill.
Then they paged Bart, but second.
And so now I'm really pissed. And meanwhile, my cell phone rings, and it's Frida. And now I'm going to get another bowl of scorn flakes because she says, I paged him. Did you find him? And I said, no, I didn't find him. And meanwhile, my call ID thing goes on the call waiting. I said, hold on. Bart's calling me from a payphone.
So Bart is somewhere in Tampa International Airport.
Yes. He calls me up and he says, Dad, where are you? I said, I'm at Avis. Where are you? He said, I'm at Avis. I said, have you seen Uncle Mike? No. Have you seen Charlie? No. Have you seen Rob? No. Okay, Bart, come back to the same spot. Don't go anywhere. Come back to where we were.
Somebody's going to eat another helping of scorn bread.
Popcorn. Oh, by the way, that came later. She was not even pissed at me at this point.
So she wasn't ready to dole out the scorn chowder then. I'm sorry.
So we finally hook up with Bart, and at this point, I didn't see you. You had probably already
left
at this point.
I guarantee you, I got my bag. Let me tell you the timeline. This might help
you. Scorn on the cob. That's from Rob. Scorn on the cob.
Oh, man.
I would eat the scorn out of Bonnie Bernstein's skit.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, just don't drive too fast because you might cream that car and they get some cream scorn. I guarantee you that you had left the counter. You had left the counter, and then if you were waiting, I was long gone.
Okay, so
I got out of that airport within 10 minutes of us coming down.
Oh,
easily.
Then, listen, you got nothing to bitch about because it was 30 minutes later when we finally found Bart.
I can bitch about lack of friendship.
I'm your friend.
Thank you, Rob.
I'm kidding.
I'm joking.
Bitch about lack of friendship.
No, I'm joking. The whole wait for me thing. We had made the arrangement. I got the hell out of there. I took one glance down. I didn't see you guys. And I was in a cab and no waiting for the cab. And I was probably at the hotel within 40 minutes of our plane landing.
Well, nice. F you. Because listen to this. We scorn ships. That's another one. We finally get everybody together. Me, Bart, Rob, Charlie. I got the paperwork for the car.
Right.
We walk out the exit. We go to where the cars are. We see the car.
Yes.
We open up the trunk of the minivan. We load the luggage in. We get in. And I say, where's the key?
Aha!
And everybody says, well, the key should be in the ignition. Key's not in the ignition.
Is it in the visor?
Key's not in the visor.
Under the seat?
Not under the seat. The key is not there. The lady has given me the paperwork, but not given me the keys.
See, the key is supposed to be in the car, so they screwed that up.
At this point, because we're all tired.
Very tired.
I sent Bart back. I said, hey, Bart, do you have your driver's license? And he said, yeah. Now, keep in mind, it's a kid's license, a restricted license. I said, go back inside and tell them that the lady didn't give your dad the key.
There you go.
So, for roughly 15 minutes, Rob and Charlie and I sat in a cold minivan. What? Scorn beef hash. Sat in a cold minivan until Bart came back. And, of course, you know, they gave him the keys.
That's a can of scorn.
They gave him the keys. We finally get on the road.
Right.
The first thing we do has come around to find you. Not on purpose, because I made a wrong turn.
That's the God's honest truth.
So we know
this is my
Do we all know each other well? I looked at, but didn't you assume, though, at that point that I was probably long gone?
No, because we really didn't have
I was right next to you down at the rental car thing.
But
did you know that that was where baggage claim was?
Yes.
Steps away. I was out of there.
But I know that every time I've gone to an airport, it takes like 40 minutes for the bags
to come
out.
That is why I think I read somewhere the Tampa airport, I've been in the airport several times, is one of the best in the country because they have a system, whatever it is. I swear to God, I couldn't believe how quickly the luggage came off. It was fantastic.
So we finally were in the car. We make one loop around the airport because we can't see the sign where it says exit. And now we're driving. I'm driving. Charlie's navigating. He's reading the map. Rob is still on his goofy pills.
I'm back here. La, 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 la.
You know, and at this point, you know, all decorum is out.
That's
you
right.
Know? I mean, like the F-bomb, you know, we got Bart in the car with us. The F-bomb is being thrown. Right. All of our inside jokes are being aired in front of the boys.
Yeah, there was a rite of passage for your son. I noticed that in the airport even before we left, that you know, something. We have all decided he is, today you are a man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we get out of the airport, and we figure out that we got to get on this Highway 275.
Right.
So we have a choice. We don't know whether to go north or south.
You're aware of the fact that the hotel was probably roughly 15 minutes from the airport.
Yes, that we did know.
Okay.
Not the way we went.
Now, we have a choice, and I told Charlie, I take responsibility for this. We were at a sign where it said 275 north left, 275 south right. I said, which way do you think? And he said, I don't know. And I said, okay.
You want to take south?
We went north.
Okay.
And we were driving. And we were, at this point, we're happy. We're driving. It's like 12:30. We're thinking, hey, pretty cool. We're going over what appears to be a 25-mile bridge.
That's right.
And we see a city.
You went over the causeway is what you did.
We see a city ahead of us, and I say, look, we're going the right way. That's Tampa Bay.
That's Clearwater.
No, it was St. Petersburg.
My God, you went that far?
Because we see a sign that says St. Petersburg, 11 miles.
Oh, my God. You guys are like, you've gone over Tampa Bay,
right?
And you're like on the other side of the world.
So now we have to find an exit.
Oh, no.
However,
exit on a bridge.
We are on a bridge that, I guess you not, is 10 miles long.
Yeah, they have the bridges down here that are basically, they're called causeways. They're built up the earth with a road on top of them, and there's water on either side.
So we come to an exit, and right as we're taking the exit, we notice that there's a sign that says, on the bottom it says, no return via southbound, meaning you can't turn around and go the other way.
So it's a one-way causeway.
Yes. So, you know, we veer out of that lane.
Oh, God.
We take the next one down. We turn around. Finally, we make it back to the hotel at 1 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Now,
after dropping Charlie at his hotel.
Oh, and listen, this is a pisser. I don't want to name any of the names of the hotels that we're at.
But Charlie is staying at a luxury hotel.
Charlie is at a 4-star luxury hotel.
Hi, Mike.
Me, Mike, Rob, Marty.
Wendell.
We are at a crack house. We are at the worst hotel possible that they could have booked the NFL in.
Right.
I mean, and what did it say on our ticket that we are the
spillover? Welcome to a spillover NFL hotel or so.
So we drop Charlie off.
Quality Spectrovision, though.
We drop him off at this beautiful hotel where the doorman comes out at 1 o'clock in the morning and the guy's wearing like the beef eater hat and he's like,
right,
welcome to the, and it says the name of the hotel.
Hello, Mr. Broyhill. Your room is ready.
We drive over to our asshole, and our first mistake is when we find a hotel, we sit outside, and we sit in the car for 5 minutes waiting for valet parking.
Oh, that's funny, You know you're staying at a good hotel when there's that just slight element of danger.
Yeah,
where you feel for your safety a little bit.
Yeah, there is.
Walking distance from the interstate.
Yes.
That's what I love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you look out of our window, and you see I-95.
Yeah, and you see what could be danger.
So we sit out there, and really after 5 minutes we think, you know what, I bet there's no valet parking here. And then we notice that it's just a lot that's got the little gate that goes.
It's a motel.
Right.
We're at a motel.
We're not at a hotel. We're at a motel.
We're at a motel and listen, of all the things about, I don't know about your floor, but my floor smells.
What floor are you on?
I'm on the 10th floor.
I'm on the 8th.
And it smells like BM. It smells like bowel movement. I swear to God, I got off the elevator, went down to my room last night, and I thought that like there was like the smell of 1,800 people having their BMs and letting it leak out into the hallway. It was horrible. There was just a slight odor of cigarette smoke and then just a massive odor of BM. And it's still there when I woke up this morning.
The decor is great. Have you ever seen that many shades of brown?
No, it's
everything
fantastic.
Is brown.
And like the fixtures are olden time fixtures.
Right.
And even the light switches.
Sure.
Yeah. Like modern in 1950.
But let me give the hotel credit. Good size television. A very, for the size of the room, a decent size television.
I'll give you that. Yeah, all right. I find nothing acceptable about this hotel.
Really?
And not to mention the fact that we got, I guess they had a flood on the floor above us because we got gigantic water stains in the ceiling.
That ain't water.
And the carpeting, my level, so you're on level 8, is damp.
Well,
I don't know what happened.
Everything's great up on 14, boys.
Right.
Maybe that's it. So it's a crappy hotel, but at this point, it's 1:30 in the morning.
You know it's going to be a good hotel when they say spillover.
Bart and I are in the room, and we think, you know what? Forget it. We're going to get through this.
Sack time.
We got a pull-out couch, so he's got his own bed. I got my bed. We're in bed, sleeping, 2:30 in the morning. I mean, he says, Dad, he's been coughing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't feel good. I said, oh, come on, tough it out. 3:00 in the morning. Hey, Dad, I really don't feel good. I go, all right, come here. Let me see what's going on. I put my hand on his forehead. The kid is burning up with fever.
That makes for the beginnings of a great Super Bowl weekend.
Burning up with fever. And at that point, I say to him, well, come here now. Let me. And I give him a hug. And he's doing that thing where he's actually, he's got the chills and he's burning up with fever.
Oh, my God.
So I call down to the front desk.
Oh, that's helpful.
Because they have a sign that says, if you need anything,
right.
need anything like a toothpaste or a
toothbrush.
So I call downstairs and I say, hi, I need a thermometer. And the girl says, well, there's a CVS about 10 miles away.
That's it.
That's what she said. I said, my kid is very sick. And she said, I'm sorry. The gift shop opens at 8 a.m.
There you go, and there are no exceptions.
So, Bart and I went through the night. This morning we get up. I called Frida, and I said, listen, Bart's really sick. I'm not sure what to do. I might have to put him on the plane and send him back home. I don't know. And she says to me, because she has no idea that we're staying in a crack house, she says, and I laughed at this, why don't you call the concierge?
There's the lady that's grown accustomed to the high life.
Why don't you call the concierge and ask them to have the hotel doctor look at
it? That's funny, the hotel doctor.
Honey,
Dr. Giggles.
I said, honey, can I tell you something? I can't get a friggin' thermometer.
Right.
I said, you don't understand the hotel that I'm staying at. And then this is when I started to get another bowl of scorn flakes when she said again, I'm 2,000 miles away. What can I do about this?
Oh, man, that's a lot of hot buttered scorn there.
And I said, I don't know what you can do about this, but all I know is that he was sick all night. He's sick now. And at this point, and I'll say in fairness to her, I said, what should I do? She said, well, you could take him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, frankly, the kid's not sick enough to go to a hospital. So we went down to the gift shop. We got him some Sudafed. We got him some aspirin. And we had breakfast with Rob.
Did he yak at all, or
no.
Is it just a cold thing?
It's just a bad cold.
Okay.
We go over to get our credentials, which is another gigantic CF this morning. While we are standing in line, what, we got a break? All right. While we're standing in line, make this very quick. While we're standing in line for our credentials, of which we are being dicked around to a magnitude you would not believe.
Well, that's a hassle.
My
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, because you're out playing golf with Frank O'Harris.
Sterling Sharp.
My cell phone rings, and it's Frida, and she says, what are you doing? And I said, we're getting our credentials. She says, is Bart there? I said, yeah, he's right here. She says, if he's so sick, why is he there? I said, because if he doesn't get his credential now, he's not going to be able to do all the stuff this weekend.
Right.
And then she really starts going off on me, screaming at me. You know, I'm getting scorned. Finally, I said, I can't handle it. You're yelling at me now. I can't handle this. I hang up the phone, and Bart says, Dad, listen, how demoralizing is this? He says, Dad, I'm sorry. Do you want me to call Mom for you?
Oh, that's nice.
And I said, no, listen, I don't care that Mom's mad at me.
Right.
I don't care. Let's get our credentials and get the hell out of here.
So it all worked out, and the important thing is, how is your son doing now?
I don't know. He's in the hotel room.
So, haven't you called? You called over there, haven't you?
I defy you to call the hotel and see if anyone answers the phone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I defy you.
I'm sorry.
I defy you. I've tried all afternoon since I left to come over here.
I didn't know.
I know you didn't know.
Sorry about it. And I did have kind of a cushy morning. I'm sorry.
You sure did. You came in all happy because you've been out playing golf. And, you know, Charlie told me that, you know, you called and wondered if you could bring your golf clubs here to the broadcast site.
No, that's not. Now, wait a minute. That's not what it was. What it was I told Charlie that I was going to be coming directly from the golf course to the broadcast site because I was playing in the Frank O'Hara's tournament. And I asked him, I said, do I have time? The question was this. Do I have time to swing by the hotel before I come over here? And the answer was yes. Therefore, I don't have my clubs or so. That is it. What?
You said, should I bring my clubs in? I said, no.
No, I didn't say, should I bring my... I said, can I bring my clubs in here, or do I have time to go to the hotel? That's what I said to you. That why would I... If the clubs would be here, if I...
Why would you do that before you got here?
Pardon me?
What? Why wouldn't you just take them to the hotel directly?
Because I had told you that I would meet you at 2:15, and then when I called you, when I got close to the convention center, I thought, well, if it's just 2:15, and getting credentials has already been taken care of, which you said it had, then I figured I'd go by the hotel and drop them off. That's it. Why are we discussing this? You know, communication is tough enough for you with you off the air.
Yes, it is.
I mean, isn't that the way it went?
Yes, that's how it went. You're exactly
then
right.
Why are you giving...
No, because
you're my friend.
Listen, suffice to say, you had a good morning.
Well, can I talk about my good morning?
Yeah, we have to have a break. I mean, we do. I'm sorry.
It wasn't that good, but it was pretty okay.
Oh, it's better than our morning.
It was pretty cool.
And frankly, that's why I know you sensed today when you came in.
Oh, I did.
That there was something you kept saying to me.
I still sense it.
You said, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. I'm glad that you came down here and you were able to get right off the airplane and get to the hotel in 20 minutes and go out and play wonderful golf today while we're over here, you know, being effed up the A by the NFL to get our goddamn credentials, of which you could just walk in at 2:30 because all the paperwork had been done already.
Charlie did all the paperwork for me. The golden boy. That's me.
The golden boy.
I won again. I won again. Life is grand. Fantastic. Oh, it's so wonderful. Sun, football, golf.
So what? So what?
I tried my dad.
Well, listen, we do want to hear about your day at Bushwood.
Yes, it was fun. It was very fun or so.
We do. And also, I do want to get discussion about the guy you played golf with today.
Because you had said something to me, and then it's up for discussion. I want to talk about that.
Okay, so we will talk about... we will change the topic. We will go to the world of Mike, where everything is great. when we come right back live from the Super Bowl.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You read when he came in, he was good. They built tremendous highways. He returned, you know, got all the practice going, everything. He was good at the beginning, but then he went nuts. He went berserk, I guess, and I think even his own generals tried to kill him, didn't they? Everybody in history knows that he was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
Broadcasting from the Super Bowl, it's the Don and Mike Show.
We're brought to you by Geico. Our Super Bowl show is, where one 15-minute phone call can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. I think that Les Moonves is going to come by.
That's pretty exciting.
The guy who's, second in command to Mel at CBS.
And he's a TV guy, and we can make the big pitch for our series.
And also, you know what? I'll wait until after you tell us about golf. To tell you about the CBS ranch out here.
Well, let me tell you.
We'll piss you off.
Well, this is very brief because I did have a good time, and it's not good to dwell on it because I know that you didn't have that good
time. No. And it's not only me. All of us had
I know.
Crappy times, but we are glad that you had
a
good time. We really are.
You were going through the maze here to get media credentials, and there was a foul-up, and while you were doing that, I got invited. My friend Dave Wood from Domino's Pizza. I have to give the plug. You know that, don't you?
I know.
You're just disgusted with me. I am.
I am GB.
Golden Boy. Invited me to play in the Franco Harris Lydell Mitchell golf tournament today. And so I got out there today and got out there early to hit some balls, and this is not going to make any happier. I thought it was going to be really cold because when I came out of the hotel, it was like 42 degrees. It felt freezing, and then when we got to the site of the golf tournament, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
the weather was
happy for you. Hey, Rob, pull up. Mike's telling us how great the weather was when he was out there hitting balls today.
I couldn't believe how warm it was.
Around the time that you and I were on that trolley that took 40 goddamn minutes to go three city blocks.
Oh, you mean the one with the wooden park bench?
I'm sorry, guys. It was really wonderful.
And it was also very temperate in line in the media center. Very mild in there.
Well, I get out there, and I'm all by myself, and I'm a driving range where I love to be, and the sun's coming up, and it's warm on my face.
Really? Was there one particular beam of golden light that just sort of focused on you?
Believe me. You know what this is? This is crap karma right now. We're going to keep talking like this, and then I'm going to fall into the river tonight.
It couldn't be bad karma for us because nothing good has happened to us yet.
That's right. I just should low-key this. But when I play in these tournaments, you know, I play in a lot of them, not as many as I used to. But normally what it is you go out there and it's a bunch of corporate people. Now, I happen to know this guy, Dave Wood, who invites me, and we've played together before. But it's still going to be, in my opinion, I'm going to have a bunch of guys that work in business, and it can be horrible. It can be really awful. Most of the time it is. But he says, listen, Dave...
Rob, which do you think would be more awful? Having to wait in line for 2 hours for credentials? Yeah. Or having to play golf with some corporate guys who you really don't know?
I don't know. That's a toss-up.
Well, let me tell you, boys, I didn't have to play with corporate people.
No, Golden Boy?
Because...
Now, listen to this. Wait till you hear who he played with.
Dave says to me, you know, I'm thinking they're going to be some, I don't want to say has-beens, but I'll say has-beens. Yeah. Some guys that used to play a million years ago, and that's who comes to these things. I didn't think there'd be anybody that was, a noteworthy football player or a TV person. And then Dave taps me on the shoulder and he says, listen, you're going to be in the golf cart with Sterling Sharp.
You now, won again.
Here's why I thought this is interesting. Mike told me this. I said, Sterling Sharp has a rap for being the biggest a-hole at ESPN.
Really?
He has a rap. He never talked to reporters when he played for the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
He runs an attitude on ESPN. If you watch him during their football shows, he'll say, for instance, Randy Moss is good, but not as good as me when I played.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what my impressions were. When I met Sterling Sharp, we sit down in the golf cart together. I mean, and that's it. When you're in one of these tournaments, I mean, you're with the guy. You're going to be the guy talking to him for the whole time. My first impression of the guy was that he was a very nice man. He was a nice guy. We chatted a little bit. I think I irritated him because I looked down at his golf balls that he's got in the front of the golf cart, and he's playing ladies' balls. You know, like the golf balls that are designed for ladies. And I see on the golf ball, it's a Precept golf ball.
See, I don't know. Are they smaller?
No, they're the exact same size. They apparently are made differently to travel further.
More distance,
but
right?
on the side, I see lady. It says L-A-D-Y.
Lady.
And I thought it was like some kind of nickname he had for somebody or initials or something. And I point at them. I didn't know they were ladies' golf balls. And I swear to God, I didn't. I thought, really, I'm looking at these golf balls, and I think it's a good conversation starter. And I'm going to ask him about these, and it's going to be perfectly okay. I didn't realize that the reason they say lady is because they're girls' golf balls.
Well, why is Sterling Sharp playing golf with girls' balls?
He answers that because I pointed his golf balls in the golf cart, and I said, hey, And, you know, and I'm thinking that it was some kind of, like, nickname or some kind of, like, initial, I asked the question in a real dicky way. And if I was playing girls' golf balls, I would probably think that I was being an a-hole.
What did you say?
So I said, hey, before we get started, Sterling, I got to ask you, what is that? What is lady? He looks at me. All of a sudden, his whole face changes, and he looks at me, and he says, they travel better, and they hold the green better than any comparable ball. They're ladies' golf balls. And when he said that, I realized, oh, he thinks I am Johnny A-hole. Johnny A-hole. I'm sitting there, oh, really? And then I realized that my whole attitude made him think that I'm saying, Sterling's playing girls' ball.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, he didn't care. He had a bunch of these things, too. And let me tell you something. I thought that we were off to the what? Who are you looking at? What? Oh my God!
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's George Michael.
Oh no! Listen, we're in the middle of something. We cannot be derailed here. He's not even going to come over.
He's not going to give us the gimple. The gimple.
Rudy,
good gimple.
Rudy, are you bringing him over here?
Rudy, we are in the middle.
Rudy,
of something.
We're in the middle of something. Just tell him. You know,
later.
Good gimpling.
Later.
So he looks at me, and I think I get off to the wrong foot with the guy because I think he gives me kind of a look, but he's still friendly. He's really friendly. We're having good conversation, and I'm like, you know what the fantasy is when you're playing with a football player? You're going to be buddy-buddy. You're going to be pals. You're going to talk. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to have a good time.
Right, GB.
Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be exciting. Golden Boy is going to make a friend. So I start chatting with him, and he's really, really nice. He's nice until, as a team, we bogey the second hole. We bogeyed the hole.
What does that mean, bogey?
Means we won over par. We didn't do well on a hole. And at this point, the demeanor changes. And he is not talking anymore. And I'm saying things like, do you get a chance to play very often? He's like, yeah, I play every day. I try to play every day. And it is like a light switch.
Told you.
Somebody has turned on the chillometer. Now, wait a minute.
But guy's a prick.
But wait a minute. The light switch turns back on when we do well on a hole. Like when we get a birdie, all of a sudden, he's happy. But I'm confused, and I'm playing the worst golf I've ever played because this guy, you know, not only was he a great football player, but seriously, he hits the ball. He hit one drive over 350 yards. And I am being conservative because I don't want to say he hit it 400 yards, but I swear to God, he hit it over 350 yards straight down the middle. He's a one handicap golfer. He's a great golfer. And I'm totally flustered because he's being nice, and he's being mean, and he's being nice, and he's being mean, and I don't know what the hell to do.
So I can't how did tell it end?
You. It ended where I shook his hand, and he was polite, and he was curt with me.
Well, I told you, he's a prick.
But, you know, there were moments where he was a good guy. There were moments where he was a good guy.
When I watch him on TV,
George
he seems
Michael's
to be a prick.
George Michael's staring at us.
Well, another golden boy.
There you go.
No, no, come on.
Come on.
Come on, no.
Come on.
Come on.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Golden
George
boy.
George is shaking his head. George is shaking his head.
Here he comes.
You know, you're the golden boy.
All right, George.
I love you, Don.
Hi, George.
Don, I have always loved you. Before there was a Mike, there was a George. You put us together, and it's Mike and George. I love you.
I love you, George.
You know, I'm sorry about the restroom. Seen in Beverly Hills.
Are you guys doing good? Are you thinking music? No, not music at all.
Hey, I just wanted to stop by to see who, you know, because I know you two are real serious football heads.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
Passionate about the game.
I got to go on with Sonny Jurgensen. I want to know, tell me, who's going to win the game, guys?
Giants.
The Giants?
Yeah.
That means the Ravens?
Giants.
Win, right?
I say Giants also. I'm a Giants fan, George.
I know you are. You always have been. Ever since your days at American University.
Wow.
Do people know that you went to American University?
Not all the time, George. Thank you for mentioning that.
Do they know that?
Of course, you're the golden boy. Of course he knows that about you.
Do they know that you were the president of I Felt the Thigh and Tappahannock Day fraternities? Drop out you? 77 WABC. George Michael. Get your love, mother.
Now that's what we like, George.
Hanging their head in shame. If I just destroyed my reputation
and career,
that's
you miss
me. You guys miss me. You're too damn straight. You need me.
We do miss you, George.
All right. Well, listen. If that's all there is, then I'll be going now. I'm gonna go put my money on the Ravens. Now that you told me the Giants win.
Beautiful,
Geronimo. You drove Jay Cook to his grave. Do you know that?
Okay.
No.
Hey, George. Get out of here.
Can you
George.
Say Chicago like we do? We play that tape of you all the time when you say
you're
the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. When you're a WABC with Chicago.
Thank you, George.
That's it.
Joe and Tab is about to get a cop after me. Thanks,
Tom. Thank you, George. He gave us a Chicago.
Chicago!
Oh, that is great. You the man.
All Music Radio 77 WABC.
Off mic, George is saying other things,
too. Get on the microphone.
What?
I've been straight for so long, and I run into you guys, and in 3 minutes, my reputation's right back down the hopper. You know, liquid summer could ruin my career faster than it
could. Oh, boy. You know, when you want somebody to do something, then they do it, and they do it 150%.
Yeah.
I like
Thank
that.
You, George.
That's good.
There he goes.
Wow.
He was over there. You weren't looking. I was looking. I had to invite him over here. He's a good guy.
George Gimble.
Oh, boy. We were worried about that. We weren't sure.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Wow.
Now, is he coming back? No, he's going over to the other side.
There he goes.
There he goes.
All right.
So anyway, I think that my verdict is I still think he's okay.
Sterling Sharp.
But we did not part as... It's not like I would say, hey, he was buddy-buddy, he's a good guy, or I could ever see him again and go, Sterling, it's me, your personal friend. That it was made pretty clear that that's not going to happen.
Gotcha. All right,
but I'm the golden boy.
You are the golden boy.
And then I discovered oil.
And a wallet full of currency.
Oh, my God.
All right, time out.
Oh, damn.
Fast and furious at the Super Bowl.
I'm sweating.
I know you are.
Golden sweat.
Golden sweat.
Rob, shut up, Rob. Shut up. Your brain's got the shell on it.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
George Michael, good to have you all with us tonight. Eighth caller to 212-955-9222 will win a 4-LP disco pack, each featuring Gloria Gaynor, furnished by Polydor Records. Dial now. I want to make you a WABC winner. Monday in New York, 81 degrees, hazy skies, still a few scattered showers in the area. I guess that it is every guy's fantasy to be standing at the bar some night and to have the most gorgeous woman in the world walk up to him, look him in the eye, and then whisper in his ear.
Bringing you all the excitement of Super Bowl XXXV, it's Don and Mike.
How'd you get that one, XXXV?
I have my sources.
Do you have a tape of him saying V?
Yeah, I found one, but I left the other one in there, too, because it's funny.
Oh, and incidentally, Lisa, you played the wrong George Michael tape, honey. We needed to hear the one...
That says Old Days.
Yes, the one where he's introducing Chicago Old Days.
That's the George Michael classic.
Are you working on that right now, Charlie? All right, well, as soon as she gets that, we'll let you know. Live at the Super Bowl, courtesy of Geico, where one 15-minute phone call saves you 15% on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Now let's hear that George Michael tape.
George Michael, WABC.
803, Monday in New York at WABC, and Billy Martin is officially back as manager of the Yankees. I told you that would happen Saturday night, didn't I? Trust me. Yes, I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
There he is. All right, turn it off now, Lisa. Turn it off. I mean, the whole air check goes like for an hour and a half.
That's great. I love that.
That is George Gimble, 77.
That's right. Happy birthday.
77?
77. He is 7 years older than G. Gordon Liddy.
That's right.
All right, Les Moonves, I guess... He's not showing up. Is that the deal? This place is really starting
to empty out.
To empty out now.
Yeah, apparently the huge NFL conclave, the commissioner's party, is this evening, and it is where we are located. It will be held in the convention center here in Tampa, and I guess everyone's going home to primp.
Yeah, so I guess we're not going to have this dude Les Moonves on the show now. We've had Les Moonves on the show via telephone one time.
Rob is going crazy. I think. Do you think that those pills he took last night, they're still residual effect?
I mean, he's over there writing jokes. Do you really expect us to read this? More Don and Mike and less Moonves?
Don't you think go trade?
No! No, I think that sucks! I think that sucks!
Oh, I'm off the Permel.
Please, stop sitting there writing these dumb jokes that nobody reads.
Okay.
Sorry. Listen. So, about CBS.
CBS.
This morning, Golden Boy, while you were enjoying all of the accoutrements you were enjoying.
Accoutrements, yes. My pampered life. While I was getting my pedicure.
While Rob and I were sitting having breakfast in that crappy asshole that we've
that's right.
Having the crack house buffet.
When I was out getting my pedicure and you and Rob were shoveling coal.
Well, no, listen. Really, this has nothing to do with you, but
okay.
While you were out, while we were having breakfast, we were reading in the newspaper. And we were reading the newspaper at breakfast. And we read two items that really will piss you off.
Really?
Now, when you consider the fact that we flew down on a regular airplane, of which we never bitch about.
Right.
That, you know, we're staying in an awful hotel. Mm-hmm. That we're here crammed like sardines into this big convention center.
Right.
We read that turd Imus in the Morning is down here. Now, they flew him down on a private jet.
Jesus.
It says in the article that they got him at a ranch somewhere outside Tampa Bay, and that his suite that he is staying in is larger than his New York apartment. And furthermore, he likes the chair that he broadcasts from in his studio at WNBC or WFAN. They paid to overnight deliver that chair.
I'm going to barf.
Down to Tampa Bay.
That can never suck enough.
Meanwhile, our asses are sitting on whatever the standard Tampa Bay Convention Center chairs are.
They are kissing his ass that much on this broadcast?
Yes, they are.
Now, is he broadcasting out at that ranch?
No.
Or is he just coming down for...
Oh, no, this was the funniest part. Yes, yes, he is.
Okay.
And the article said the 200 fans who showed up were excited to hear him.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. The 200
fans.
And he's on down here.
Yes.
And they come out to see him, his 200, because he's so scary popular.
But that's really good turnout, because that's like 30% of his entire audience.
So we read this, and man, we're pissed. It's like, right. You know, we're staying at a crack house, and he's in a suite that is bigger than his New York apartment.
Right.
And then I say to Rob, wait, you're mad about that. Skim down to the bottom of the next page. And then we read about, and this is, quote, the CBS ranch.
Right.
What they've done for the CBS stars who are here is they have bought out an entire ranch. That includes two 18-hole Arnold Palmer golf courses, luxurious spa and daycare centers.
Right.
24-hour massage service, horse riding stables, marble enclosed.
So they basically
bathrooms.
They basically booked an entire resort for the CBS family.
Gourmet cooks on call 24 hours.
We are not part of the CBS
no,
family.
No, they had the list of stars. Of course, Ray Romano.
Right. Yeah, of course.
The entire cast of Everybody Loves Raymond, Jervis and Sue and Jeff Probst from Survivor.
Oh, my God.
And Kevin James.
Right.
Kevin James gets to do it.
And Kevin James.
See, it's all about the TV.
So that's really why I wanted Les Moonves. Charlie said to me earlier, Les Moonves might be able to do an interview. I mean, he wanted to come on to promote Survivor.
Right.
I wanted to bust his ass about how come we're staying in a crack house. Listen, I understand we're not on the CBS TV network.
Right.
But we don't have 24-hour-a-day gourmet chefs waiting to cook our meals for him.
Well, how about that? So CBS, we don't have envelopes to send out our prizes.
Right.
And they're getting the star treatment and booking an entire resort for all those wonderful people who are just down here. Yeah, you know, they're not coming down Radio Row. There's no promotion going on.
No.
They're just out there doing their thing.
But even beyond that, this Imus thing.
Yeah, what is the deal with
is
that?
It's enough to really fry your ass,
shipping,
right?
Shipping that fossil's chair down here?
Maybe it's a prescription chair.
And it says in the news...
Stupid idiot, Rob.
Says in the newspaper, a private jet.
I just got my private jet.
And he's not going to be doing any horseback riding, is he? I don't think I can. I'll break my collarbone.
I don't think so.
I don't want to break my collarbone.
Damn, that's a pisser. And then it says in the paper, you know.
Stupid idiot.
And they don't make fun of the fact that only 200 people show up.
Yeah, they don't even mention that. It's Imus. And so the fact that he only pulled 200 people at his broadcast.
Hey, does anybody have... Rob, go check on one of those tables down there. It's the Tampa St. Pete Times or whatever the hell the newspaper is. Because you got to see. They got a giant picture of
him. Imus.
Is this it? Hold on. Yep, this is it.
Stupid idiot, Bernard.
Hold on.
Oh, man.
Let me find the section.
Listen, I'm going to want a private jet to take me down here. I want my own private chair.
Here
I want
it is.
My special chair, my specialty chair.
Got it. Share it with you now. Okay? How you like this? Look at that headline.
Oh, there he is with his doofus cowboy.
Imus draws crowd before dawn.
Really?
Before dawn.
The caustic talk show celebrity hosts his radio show from the Westin Innsbruck Resort.
Innsbruck. Yeah, is that the same resort that they're doing the CBS people?
No, CBS is at the Saddlebrook Resort.
So there are two major golf resorts here in Tampa, two of the nicest ones. There's the Westin Innsbruck, which is fantastic, and then there's Saddlebrook. And that's CBS's property. But you know what? We should have been out there.
A radio show isn't much to look at.
Damn.
A bunch of folks wearing headphones. It's not as if you're watching a play. Yet. Okay. Yet. For the 200 fans who showed up Thursday for the live remote of Imus in the Morning.
Oh, there's a song and dance fest.
Fans. The radio program was a pageant of the highest order. It wasn't boring at all, said Tampa resident Scott Buckingham.
It wasn't boring at all. I enjoyed watching Imus.
An unshaven Imus arrived at the conference center at 5:15 a.m.
I don't feel like doing the show.
Wearing his ever-present cowboy hat.
Yeah, that's where I put my and it has the cowboy hat has the hair attached to it. It's sewn and it's attached to it. He pulls it off and it's like a bald head with blue veins underneath.
After settling into the chair, air freighted to Florida specifically for this show, Imus never left it during the 6 to 10 a.m. broadcast.
Because he can't.
Imus kicked the show off with praise for, what's the name of this place? Innsbruck?
Innsbruck Resort, right.
Innsbruck, calling it a first-class resort.
It's a first-class resort. They brought my chair down here.
His suite was the size of his New York apartment, he said.
God.
Let me see. During the show, Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms stopped by to chat. And then down on the bottom of the page, it's CBS South invades Saddlebrook Resort in Pasco. CBS primetime manager said last-minute change expanded right after the weekend, but many of the network stars will be staying at the Wesley Chapel Resort. Big names include the entire cast of Everybody Loves Raymond. The 480-acre resort features shops, restaurants, two Arnold Palmer-designed 18-hole golf courses, and 45 tennis courts. Add to that a 7,000-square-foot spa that offers body treatments, facials, salon services,
jeez,
with 12 private treatment rooms, a couple's rooms with soaking tub, hydro-massage tub, men's and women's dressing rooms, whirlpools, saunas, steam rooms, 24-hour room service with gourmet chefs, according to CBS spokespeople.
Fantastic. Everybody's getting taken care of.
Others on the confirmed list include King of Queens star Kevin James.
Enjoy, Kevin.
David Letterman won't be at Saddlebrook, but he has sent Biff Henderson.
So Biff Henderson is out there.
Along with Late, Late, Late Show host Craig Kilborn.
And, of course, you would think that maybe, since they're at that fantastic resort, they could send some of those celebrities our way.
Yeah.
We don't even get to do an interview when we're down here working.
No. So, you know, FCBS.
That's a message from Wendell.
Message from Wendell.
It's pretty excellent.
Not only are we not... Man, you got psycho handwriting, Wendell. Not only are we not part of the CBS Ranch family, we are not welcome down the hall here at the CBS Sports Office, where they have three different flavors of hot super pretzels. I checked yesterday.
Did you say hot soup?
Hot super pretzels.
Oh, hot super pretzels.
That's true, Wendell? Come explain this note.
I ducked in there yesterday, and in doing some advanced work while waiting for my credentials, said hi. You know, showed them the business card, CBS Radio, everything, and could my talent duck in here tomorrow for a respite from being out there on Radio Row? And I was told, no, that's just for our correspondents. We're not even allowing the press in here.
Huh. Yeah. CBS. Yeah, they're really behind you around here.
They handed me back my business card, by the way.
No,
that was
doubt. Nice
of them.
They handed you back your business card.
Mm-hmm. And asked you to reuse it again.
Be gone.
They handed it back to you.
Oh, F them.
Right,
Super pretzels.
F
this
them.
Sucks. Okay, well, listen. Armin Katain Super Pretzels. Listen, we have a Friday favorite lined up for you next.
Yay!
Let me just say, it's someone from the NFL past and someone whose fingers... And rather, fingernails and hair continue to grow.
It's a ghost, Don.
Yes, it is. And it's coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
Well, what about... Brett Favre.
What did I tell you the first time we met? I'm a Niners fan.
Live from the Super Bowl, it's Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
You know, that reminds me of that tape of Ben Stiller. I know I'm way late to the party on this.
But you saw it.
Yeah, I told Mike during the break. I watched Meet the Parents.
Is De Niro not the funniest thing? I've never seen him funnier.
In the hotel room? Yeah. He's great.
Ben Stiller.
Right. Is great in that movie. Listen, I know I'm like a year behind.
Sure.
I'm the last person in the world to see the movie, but really liked it. And Mike, I'll be watching you.
Yeah, now you know what Rob and I have been doing for a while.
Okay.
I'll be watching you.
Let's do a Friday favorite, and we are going beyond the grave. Okay, let's welcome the smell of death into the studio.
Domingo, I've come back from the grave.
Ladies and gentlemen, former owner of your Washington Redskins.
And currently deceased,
Jack Kent Cook.
Can I call you Domingo?
You know, that's my favorite tape, when you called me Domingo.
Who sold my franchise to a dwarf?
Oh.
I am not pleased with the direction of my franchise. The Washington Redskins have been turned over to a tiny little boy.
I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the Redskins... are not in the Super Bowl this year.
I am aware of that fact. And tell me, who are these Ravens?
Yeah,
that's not a football bird.
You've been dead a long time. They used to be the Cleveland Browns.
Lay with me.
No, no.
I don't want to lay with you.
Will you?
I don't want to lay with you.
I'm lonely. I now exist in the beyond, and I'm furious. You cannot gauge the depth of my anger. I am beyond consolable due to the fact that the Cook family franchise has been mishandled rather inappropriately.
So if you could speak to current Redskins owner Dan Snyder.
Yes.
What would you say to him?
I would say, Mr. Snyder, bloody congratulations on taking over the franchise, but your Napoleonic tendencies have resulted in a reversal of our good fortune.
And you know, he fired your boy Norv.
Norville Turner will be the next Joe Gibbs. You mark my bloody words. I'm furious. I do not feel that they will attain the level of success under Schottenheimer that they would have under Norville Turner. By God, bring him back from the abyss.
And listen, I know you gotta be upset. I know you hate Baltimore. Have you heard? Well, I just told you. The Baltimore Ravens
are in the Super Bowl.
Domingo.
Yes, Jack.
Have you heard that this is not really a franchise? The name of the bloody team is the Cleveland Browns, who were spirited out of Cleveland to the city of Baltimore in the dead of night. And, oh, dear.
What's happening?
My nails.
Oh.
I must tell these bloody hooks. Look at my fingers.
Your talons.
They're all bone.
Well, now, when you die,
yes,
your fingernails continue to grow?
The hair grows. Not that I was in abundance of that particular quality.
What about, you know, hey, we always used to love asking you about,
yes, fire away,
your Speedos and your bathing suits.
I was buried in my Speedo.
What about your genital hair? Has your pubic hair grown since you've been dead?
Pubic hair does not grow in the afterlife. It maintains its curl and luster, but it does not grow. Fingernails and hair. I have shoulder-length snow-white locks overlooking extremely long and dirt and beetle-infested fingernails.
How are your genitals, though, Mr.
The genitals, by God, man, what is this passion, this deep infatuation you have with my genitalia? It's not normal. You do not possess normal tendencies if you insist on focusing on my genitals. Why do you not consult with me about spirits of football and instead occupy all of your cerebral cortex with a discussion of my penis?
How's your old wrinkled wiener doing?
It's fine. If we can get it out of the bloody way, my wrinkled wiener, as you so eloquently call it, is doing just fine, but I fear we'll never be turgid again. Thank you.
You know, the Chrysler Building is now owned by a group of Japanese investors.
Are you telling me that they sold the Chrysler Building to, yes, non-North Americans?
Yeah.
You notice I don't say Americans because, of course, I am Canadian by birth. I heard that. Well, look who it is. It's Giant Head. Hello there. It's Mr. Large Cranial Surface. I see you have a flat top. Attaboy.
Yes, I'm a good guy. You'd like me.
Good to see you. I can see you from the afterlife,
yeah,
and I know what you do.
I think you two have a lot more in common, maybe, than you realize.
Well,
Mr.
I listen to your show in heaven, and we do have one particular thing in common
that
I will share with you if you can. And release yourself from your obsessive questioning about my genitals. Very good. That is not what I was thinking. Do you mean a fascination with Adolf Hitler?
No. No, Rob is generally a person who hates other people.
Yes. Oh, well, I will share and applaud you. I always said to the entire Cook family, Rob,
yes,
hating is good for the soul. It is the world's strongest emotional tendency.
And
if you can hate at least once a day, you'll live a long and albeit fruitful life.
And not only that, Squire, I've also been known to be quite parsimonious.
Ah, have you ever washed your windows of your automobile with vinegar and newspaper?
I have.
It works better than the pricey blue fluid.
Right. Why pay Windex your hard-earned dollar?
Why give the bastards the benefit of my hard-earned money?
Right.
I like the boy. He hates and he's cheap.
What would your words of advice be for the owners of both teams, the Mara family who owns the Giants and the Modells who own the Ravens?
My advice would be, get ye to a cemetery with shovels, dig me up and prop me up in both of your owner's suites. I have more personality than either Mr. Mara or Mr. Modell. I was the squire. I was the man in tweed. I was the one with the double-decker sunglasses. I
I was fun, horny, and a fabulous bloody owner, Domingo. Thanks so much for asking.
And finally, a football question. I know I asked it before.
I'd love to talk about football, but with the abundance of new franchises, I cannot keep track. Why are the Cleveland Browns going by the false name of the Baltimore Ravens?
You know what happened to Houston Oilers?
The Houston Oilers, they were a struggling franchise when I was seated in the ownership circle.
They're now the Tennessee Titans.
Titans?
And you know who they played in the Super Bowl last year?
Oh.
The St. Louis Rams.
The Rams? Bloody hell, man. The Rams are from Los Angeles.
There's no team in Los Angeles.
How's Georgia Frontier?
Oh!
By God, a fine woman and a great rat.
You ever slip it to her?
I never had the opportunity. As you know from my history, my proclivity was for younger women in their 20s or 30s.
Marlena.
Damned bitch.
Oh. Yeah.
Damned money-grubbing, obsessive-compulsive wench from hell. Wow.
And Mr. Cook,
Marlena will never get any more of my fortune, and she'll be damned lucky to stay within the United States borders.
We were just just noticed outside.
Yeah.
We just had on the show a few seconds ago one of your favorite television sports anchors.
Who would that be?
George Gimple.
Giorgio.
George Michael.
Giorgio.
And I know that you used to love being on the Channel 4 News with him.
The reason I enjoy George Michael, can I tell you why?
Why?
George Michael and I were born in the same year. He's bloody fun. Is he still working with my friend Sonny Jurgensen?
Oh, yeah, they're outside doing a live shot right now.
They're both fine individuals, and I'd just like to say that my spirit in the afterlife is still with the Redskins and Marty Schott and Iver.
But what about Snyder?
Snyder can kiss my dookie.
Oh, no.
In all my right. Duke, in the bad part.
Oh, now listen to this.
The decaying bad part.
Who's talking about genitals now?
I am. I'm not genitals. It's excretory organs. He can kiss my rotting, decaying orifice. My bad hole.
Would you consider coprophilia with Dan Snyder?
No, absolutely not. Only if I was the donor.
That's what I meant.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. But unfortunately, during the embalming process, they took it all out of me. There's none left for an old squire. There is no poop left. No poo. Damned lack of poo.
We are. Bloody poo.
Bloody poo won't come out. It's in the hands of some damned mortician.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and we need two contestants for today's low-budget jeopardy. Our phone number is 877.
Find it for me, amigo. Give it back to me.
3636.
I want my poo.
Please call Lisa. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Garland thing kind of turned me on. Does that make me some kind of fag? Oh, maybe your money.
I don't think she liked me anyway.
Oh, Mike, I'm telling you, man. She thought you were money.
I don't think so.
I heard them both talk.
Both those girls thought you were money.
I just don't think she liked me enough. Baby, you are so money and you don't even know it.
Capturing the excitement of Super Bowl XXXIIIII. It's Don and Mike.
Jack, you are so money and you don't even know it.
I am the money meister, Domingo.
You ever watch that movie Swingers? That's where all that talk comes from.
I don't watch movies because I have no eyes left.
Right.
Lisa, roll the music, please.
Let's get to low-budget Jeopardy.
You're looking well.
There you go. That's the music. Jack, we have two contestants on the phone. Let's meet them now, please.
This is low-budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is a student from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Let's say hi to Steve Fish. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve.
Steve, buddy. Steve, man.
Are you there, Steven?
The Steven.
Steven Tisch.
The man of Steve Stinian.
Shall I introduce the other fellow?
Why don't you try that?
And now let's say hi to a contractor from Bethesda. Let's say hi to Alan Beal.
Alan?
Bingo.
Ah, there you go. Hold on. I got somebody there. You got the other guy? Are they both on the line?
Go, Mr. Cook.
Hi there. Steven, are you there?
I'm here, Don.
Beautiful. All right, we got them both. Guys.
And now entering the studio is the host of Lola Jeopardy. Don't screw without you.
What?
Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome, Domingo.
Don't forget, I'm living with my mom, wearing a clip-on tie, suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex unless you're playing the game. Then it's LQ Lord Quizmaster. And always call him
Skeletor.
Dead old man cook.
Dead old man cook.
And here's your categories, kids.
Oh.
Your categories are Super Bowl trivia.
Trivia. I enjoy Jeopardy.
Name that Vince.
Vince, I have several in my cerebrum.
You have several Vinces in your cerebrum?
Oh, I have several worms in there, man.
Golden Globe winners.
Golden Globes. Damned Globes.
Ravens and Giants by the numbers.
By the numbers. Numero uno.
And states and capitals.
States and capitals. I'm glad that you're assisting our youth with their education.
Okay, now once again, here we go. It's Super Bowl trivia.
Yes.
Name that Vince.
Oh, there's something in my eye.
You know, we made a last-minute change. We're going to have Vince Lombardi on today, and then we decided...
He's looking well.
to switch it to Jack Kent Cook.
Do you know what we call him now down in the cemetery?
What?
Dusty.
Golden Globe winners, Ravens and Giants by the numbers, and states and capitals. Steve, you're from Green Bay there. We will start with you, I guess.
All right, Alex, Super Bowl trivia for one.
All right, here we go. You'll get this one. He was MVP of Super Bowl II.
Who's Bart Starr?
Bart Starr, yeah.
$1 and a fabulous quarterback.
Super Bowl trivia for two, Alex.
Number of Super Bowls won by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Four. What is four?
No.
That was not in the form of a question.
Alan Beal from Bethesda. Go, man.
What is four?
Right, Alan, right.
$2, the Pittsburgh Steelers, damned Rooney family. All right, Alan, you're in control.
Super Bowl for three, please.
Including this year, the number of Super Bowls played in Tampa Bay.
What is one?
No. Steve Tisch, your chance to steal.
What is three?
Three is right.
Three. Damn bloody good game. Go again, Steve.
Ravens and Giants by the numbers for one, Alex.
All right, here we go. Ravens, he's number 31.
Chris McAllister.
That was not in the form of a question.
You moron, you have to put it in the form of a damned question. All right, Alan, your chance to steal.
Who is McAllister?
No, you shouldn't have believed it. It's Jamal Lewis.
Steve, luckily, you have the board.
Ravens, Giants by the numbers for two.
Hey, listen, I got away from this. Jack, Mr. Cook?
Yes, sir, Domingo.
By the numbers, if you were alive,
yes.
any idea how old you'd be now?
by the numbers, I would have three of them.
Wow.
I would be celebrating a birthday, and that talented weather fellow, Willard Scott, would be selling jams and preserves with my birthday in between.
And what would he say about you? He'd say, we want to say happy birthday to Jack Kent Cook, who enjoys boning younger women and firing people in his office.
Capital idea. I would accept those fantastic superlatives with a great deal of gratitude for the rotund young man.
Oh, I know what I forgot to tell you. I promise we'll get right back to the game.
You're a very excitable boy, and I must reiterate, lay with me.
I heard that Dan Snyder barbecued your dog, Coco.
Do you mean he killed Coco?
He killed him, and then he barbecued him, and they ate him at a big picnic out at Redskins Park.
Will you do me a favor, Domingo?
Sure, Mr. Cook.
You tell that bloody Oompa Loompa that I'm coming to get him in his dreams.
They made Coco Bobs.
Coco Bobs?
You know, not kebabs, they made Coco Bobs.
I'll send him a Schneidergram while he's sleeping. I'll turn myself into Pinhead from Hellraiser. Pinhead with a tweed hat.
And that's right. You're right, Rob. They sold your dead dog on a stick to fans to eat during training camp. Do you know that he's charging for training camp?
Training camp? Charging at admission?
Yeah.
It's uncalled for. And unacceptable.
You could come out to Redskins Park and pay your money, and you could actually eat Jack Kent Cook's dead dog on a stick.
They killed Coco and fed him to the fans? Unacceptable.
Yes.
My heart is filled with a great deal of sadness. I have a heavy heart. Then again, it's because it's fallen out of my bag.
We were on Ravens Giants by the numbers.
By the numbers.
Who was in control here?
I can't write with these hooks. Who?
Who are you?
Steve.
Steve, all right.
Thank you. When we're trying to identify you, saying I was Steve is not the best way. But now you're in control. Select again.
All right. Ravens, Giants by the numbers for two. Giants, he's number 31.
Who is Jason Sehorn?
Yeah, that's right. You had it right all along.
$2 for you, Steve. Select again.
Ravens and Giants by the numbers for three.
Giants, he is number 27.
Who is Ron Dane?
Correct, Amanda.
$3. Damn fine category, Steven. Select again.
Name that Vince for one.
Now, keep in mind, you know, we thought Vince Lombardi, which is why we had this category today.
Dusty to his friends.
He's married to Amy Grant.
Who is
Vince Lombardi is married to Amy Grant?
No, that's the answer to the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you, Steve. Try to answer again.
Who is Vince Scully?
Ah, that fabulous sportscaster, gospel singer, Mary.
Vince Scully.
I have no idea. Never heard of him.
All right, maybe you guys have heard of Amy Grant.
Alan, your chance to steal.
It was Vince Gill.
Okay, yeah, he got it right. Oh, wait a minute, hold on.
No, he did. He got it right.
Okay, but I said... Okay.
You said Amy Grant. You didn't give it away.
Right, didn't give it away. Yeah, Vince Gill, right.
$1 for you, Alan. You're in control.
Name that Vince for two, please.
Major movie star starred in the movie The Cell with Jennifer Lopez.
Who is Vince?
Steve, it's your chance to steal.
Who is Vince Scully?
Vince Scully.
You know, and for the record, his name might be Vince, but they called him Vin.
Right. Yeah, Vin, not Vince.
Oh, my bad.
No. Vince Vaughn. Maybe you've heard of him. Vince Vaughn.
Vince Cully. And Steve and Alan, you're in control.
Name that Vince for three, please.
Dead horror movie star. At one time, considered a Mike O'Mara lookalike.
Who is Vincent Price?
That's right.
$3. Bloody good job, Alan. You're in control. Select another category.
States and capitals, please, Mr. Cook.
Beautiful. Here we go.
Thank you.
It is the capital of the great state of Illinois.
What is Springfield?
Right.
$1 and a fine place to live. $1 going in, Alan.
States and capitals for two, please.
It is the capital of the great state of Richmond.
What is Virginia?
He's right because I got it backwards.
We'll give it to you.
Because I was dyslexic on that one.
$2 for you, and you've tied the game, Alan.
States and capitals for three, please.
Yeah, that's very good. I effed that up, and he got it right.
Yeah, that's all right. I used to F a lot of things up.
It is the capital of the great state of Louisiana.
What is Baton Rouge?
Right again.
$3, and with that, you take the lead. Is that the end of the first round?
Oh, no. We still got the Golden Globe winners.
Golden Globe winners for one. Would that be correct, Alan?
Yes, please.
Very good.
There we go. He won a Golden Globe for Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Who is George Clooney?
He is.
$1. You know, one time I had a nail-biting habit in the afterlife, and I chewed my finger clean off.
Clean off. Did it grow back?
It did indeed. Only the bone and the nail. Scratchy. I could use these hands as back scratchers. All right, Alan, you're in control.
Yeah.
Golden Globes for two, please.
She won for her role in Nurse Betty.
Who is Zellweger?
Steve, it's
oh,
your chance
it.
To say. Steve Allen.
You were buzzed.
You were buzzed, and then you shouted out the answer, giving your opponent a decided advantage.
Who is Renee Zellweger?
Correct. $2 for you. You're mounting a comeback, Steve.
Golden Globes for three, please.
He won for his role on The West Wing.
Who is some old guy?
Steve, victory was in your grasp, and now, Alan, your chance to steal.
Who is Martin Sheen?
Right.
And with that, that is the end of the first round of bloody low-budget Jeopardy.
And, you know, Jack, as the day gets later here in Tampa...
Yes, the late day.
I can't help but noticing, maybe it's with the early dinner hour for seniors.
Where I live, it's always nighttime.
I can't help but notice how many more... old people I'm seeing here at the Tampa Convention Center.
We only come out at night. Some of us old people. Some of us live where it's dark all day. And the worms eat you. And the beetles. And the grubs. Damn snails.
Okay, listen, guys.
We'll weevils.
Steve, Alan, stay online. You're going to play Final Low Budget Jeopardy.
Final Low Budget Jeopardy.
And Mr. Cook, oh, listen, how about a prediction on the game Sunday?
The game Sunday will be won by the Cleveland Rams.
Thank you. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It certainly is a beautiful day. We should thank the leader.
Who the hell is that? Some kind of leader?
Yes. He's the head of our perfect family.
Why don't you come chat with us about the leader at the Welcome Center?
Will there be beer?
Beer is not allowed.
Home or no function, beer well without.
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
What kind of beer?
Broadcasting from the Super Bowl, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Our Super Bowl show has been brought to you by Geico, where one 15-minute phone call can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Reno Tahoe-style show with Bonnie Bernstein.
Bonnie Bernstein. Who is this Bonnie you speak of?
Oh, POA from CBS Sports.
I know those initials are pace of
Friday, February 23rd, 8 o'clock, main showroom, sponsored by Harrah's Lake Tahoe. Your biggest nights happen here.
I used to say to my son, John, there's nothing quite like a damned piece of ass.
Yes, guys, go to TVGuide.com and click on the features link to vote for Leah Remini and the King of Queens. Voting ends Monday night.
I want a piece of ass in my coffin.
The 29th at 11:59 p.m. We're live from the convention center.
Ralph was too effeminate.
Super Bowl 35 in Tampa Bay. We got our guys online. Steve and Alan, are you there?
We're here, Don.
I'm here, Don.
Okay, here you go, guys. Here's your final Love on Your Jeopardy category, and it is...
Hello, youngsters.
And it is
How long did it last?
Oh, yes. Days.
Not what you think.
All right.
Number of years Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin stayed married. On January 12th, she filed for divorce. So in the form of a question, how long did it last, guys? The number of years that Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin were married. Don't forget, answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeff Hardy will receive films from my private collection of titles.
Really?
All my favorites, like The Bone Collector, Pet Cemetery, Death Trap, Night of the Living Dead, Death Becomes Her, The Dead Zone, Nightwing, The Graveyard Shift, and of course my favorite, Benji! Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
What was odd there was that all of those movies had to do with death.
That is indeed true.
And the macabre, and then the last movie was about a happy-go-lucky dog.
You've pinpointed it. Way to go, Domingo.
Who do we want to talk to first, old man?
Low man on the totem pole is Steve.
All right, Steve Marino, here we go. How long did it last? Number of years Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin were married.
What is nine?
Nine is... No, not it.
No,
sorry,
that
pal.
That knocks you down to zero, Stephen.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Alan, Alan, you're the winner if you have the right answer.
What is seven?
Seven, he's a big winner.
Congratulations.
Lisa, give me that music, please.
Oh, yes, indeed.
7 years they were married.
7 long years. I was married, too.
How many times?
To Jacqueline. Remember when I fathered the child? When I was able to shoot my bloody seed. That over 70 years of age.
Yeah. All right, so Steve, the guy from Green Bay.
Yes.
You are the winner. Alan, the guy from...
Alan is the winner.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got it wrong.
So what? Now I shoot the...
Got it mixed up.
There you go.
Alan, you're the winner. Steve, you're the loser. Either way, don't go away, man. Just go away. Here's Jack and Cook to tell you about your money.
Alan.
And your prizes.
You double your score to $32. We throw in a bonus currency of $25, bringing your total to $57 bloody damned dollars, Alan.
That's awesome, Mr. Cook.
And Steve, we have parting prizes for your collection.
There you go, Steve.
You have won a CD soundtrack. From the movie Save the Last Dance, courtesy of Fairy Mount Pictures and Amphitheaters.
Wait. Hold on, let me see that. Give me that slug again.
Yes.
That's courtesy of Paramount Pictures and AMC Theaters.
I'm sorry, I thought it was AMP. But you've also won a VHS videotape of The Cell. The Cell.
Thank you.
Rated R. Starring Jennifer Lopez and Vince Vaughn. Now available to rent at your local video warehouse location. Thank you and thanks for a bloody damn good game, boys.
All right, Steve and Alan, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Thank you for listening, guys.
Guys.
Hello.
All right, well.
Yes.
Right. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Don, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, sure.
You were too bloody impolite.
Oh, please. I want to tell Mr. Cook to tell Mike that his impressions are great, except Jesse does sound like Arnold.
Oh, would you? Now listen.
Which one of you said that?
Oh, now you.
Hey,
you know what?
Jerk.
You know what? You're going to put the golden boy into a tailspin this weekend.
Would that be Steve, our loser, by any chance?
I did not say that. Alan said that.
Alan, were you our winner and you said that?
I meant no offense, Mr. Cook.
Let me tell you, Alan, your total was $57.
Oh, my, here we go.
That total could be reduced dramatically, Alan. Say it's not true to Mike. Tell him that Cook, all of
it. Mr. Cook, please tell Mike that his voices are incredible, and someday I hope to come to the camp.
There, you saved that bonus. Way to go, Alan.
Otherwise, say hi to somebody.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Why are the bloody inmates taking over the asylum?
Who do you want to say hi to?
I want to say hi to my girlfriend, Ryan.
Right, great. Thank you. Hold on, guys, both of you. Jesus Christ.
And I'd like to say hi to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Jackson.
Oh, see?
They all bloody run together.
Now,
I'll tell that to Mike, but he'll be a stupor when I do.
Okay. Jack, always remember, never forget, Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Koron Incorporated and is distributed by King World. Goodbye. Look at my bones.
Well, it was an exciting Super Bowl edition of Low Budget Jeopardy today.
Always nice to hear from an old friend.
Yes, yeah. The smell of death is definitely in the Tampa Convention Center. Buzz!
Yes!
Buzz, I know you're there and we are here.
Yes, I am.
But it still is no reason that we cannot communicate with the news.
Excellent.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
He made it up.
And Buzz, your lead story tonight, please.
Tonight, Jesse Jackson stars in My Two Wives.
That's great.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Keep hope alive.
Professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Dr. Eisman, no one has a deeper respect for psychiatry than I do. And I know that when we get to Larry, we're both on the same side. But I think there's certain guidelines we should observe here.
Oh, so before you go any further, let me tell you that I can't discuss Larry's case.
Oh, what horse you Buddha doctors are all the same. Soon you'll have Larry recovering a false memory of an uncle who tried to touch his pet.
Bringing you all the excitement of Super Bowl XXXB, it's Don and Mike.
Yeah, man.
Excitement my ass.
I tell you, we're having some fun now, ain't we?
Yeah, there's nobody in this convention center now.
Wow. It is empty, and it is nice. I like it. All the other radio professionals have hamstrayed.
Yep, there's just a couple of guys left that are screaming stuff like, well, the Ravens are favored by 3.5.
Wild Val stick.
Yeah, so we're, I think we're the last of our kind left here.
We are. I think we're the only ones of our kind.
Sad, really. You know, the only guys left that are doing anything besides just, well, let me just see if I got something for you to illustrate my point.
Besides doing this.
Yeah.
What's the over-under on that?
That was fantastic pitch. www.egars.com, hottest cigar site on the planet. Let's get to the news and the comments. Now here is Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. If the National Enquirer is to be believed, and apparently it is, judging from Jesse Jackson's confession, then this story just gets stranger. In the
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
Hi, Jesse.
Not a tumor.
It's not a tumor. Hey, you know why? I'm the head of the Rainbow Coalition.
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
In the next
Don't
issue...
Don't worry. I will be back. I'll be back. Sarah Connor.
In the next issue, the tabloid says Jackson's wife has befriended the woman with whom Jackson had a child. The paper says Jackie Jackson called Karen Stafford and that the two chatted like old girlfriends.
I certainly hope she does not divorce me.
Mrs. Jackson,
go ahead.
Mike, why are you doing your Arnold Schwarzenegger now?
Someone have told me that it sounds remarkably similar to Jesse Jackson.
Chilling.
And I want to share the power.
Go ahead, Buzz. Mrs. Jackson reportedly threw her husband out of the house after learning of the affair 2 years ago. But now that he's gone public, she's invited the woman and the child into their family. Quoting a source, Jackie told Karen that since it's Jesse's child, they're part of the family now. The source also says Jesse even wants her and his wife to all be together.
Right, that'll work.
To sweeten the deal for the Mrs., Jackson just bought her a Lincoln Town Car and a trip to Europe.
Which Mrs.?
Well, the one he's really married to.
The one that I
I'm sharing my life with
Jackie. Well, you're married to Maria Shriver.
That's right. I'm looking forward to the next Terminator movie. It should be a good time. I play a very powerful robot that eventually has to give up the ghost. And I will be back.
An earthquake in India today killed more than 2,000 people and injured another 3,000. Near Joliet, Illinois today, a Salvation Army van crossed the median on I-55 and hit a tractor trailer. 10 passengers in the van died.
Excuse me, I know you have very important news.
Ladies and gentlemen, the CBS family has finally come up with something. Yesterday, they have donated something for us. We are on the lowest rung of the show business ladder.
Superb bowl hat.
How about one for my kid? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Buzz, I realize you were just telling us that 2,000 Indians died, but at that precise moment, a lady from CBS came by with a stack of free hats.
Well, that's wonderful.
And a bunch of lapel pins, which we are now scarfing like morons at a Who concert.
So you have that.
Yeah, we got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Incidentally, 2,000, what was it, Buzz?
I'd actually moved on from there. Near Joliet, Illinois today, a Salvation Army van.
Buzz, I want to tell these ladies why. What was the story?
The previous story was that 2,000 people died in India in an earthquake today. And the 3,000...
2,000 people died in India today. But you know what? We stopped that story because we were happy you gave us free hats.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
A horrible earthquake with much loss of life in it. We stopped to get hats.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you, ladies. We spit on their graves for these free hats.
David Letterman's announcer. It's Alan Coulter.
Near Joliet, Illinois today, a Salvation Army van crossed the median on I-55, hit a tractor trailer, 10 passengers in the van died. The driver's in critical condition. The truck driver is in good condition.
That's good.
Attorney General wannabe John Ashcroft denies asking a job applicant if he's gay. Ashcroft, who reportedly opposes gay rights, was governor of Missouri when he interviewed a man who later became an aide to Senator Moynihan.
Yes, oh, Fez. Yeah, right.
Paul Offner.
Hey.
Paul Offner's the man's name. He says Ashcroft demanded an answer to that question. At first, Ashcroft's people said he does not recall the incident. Now, Ashcroft said...
I do not recall.
Ashcroft says it never happened, not with Offner or anybody else. But Offner says he was only asked two questions in that interview, whether he's gay and whether he's ever taken illegal drugs.
And that was the answer, right?
Did you even hear that?
Yes,
I
we did.
I just farted.
Sponsorable, I think.
www.egars.com.
There you go.
Buzz, you know, I'm finding that somehow the cadence is just not working as well when we can't look at you.
Really? I think we have to eyeball Buzz.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we have to bring him to the next Super Bowl.
That'll never happen.
Well, I know this. We got him a beautiful hat.
Yeah.
And we got 2,000 dead Indians to thank for it.
Absolutely right.
Buzz, we have to break here.
Okay.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Watched The Simpsons the other night, and Bart Simpson hadn't done his homework, and he's afraid to take a history test. Well, he was praying for snow, and it was a blizzard. You know, and so, you know, the little girl reminded him that, hey, you prayed to get some extra time to study for that history test, and made him go up there and study. And he got him a 59, which was a failing grade, but then the teacher gave him a 60, and he passed the fourth grade.
Live from the Super Bowl, it's Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Our Super Bowl sponsor, Geico. Geico, where one 15-minute phone call can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Buzz, we are running out of our satellite time. Let's squeeze a little more news and comments in right here. Hi, Buzz.
All right. Hi, Don and Mike. A top official from the Nixon White House says Libby's theory about hookers makes a lot of sense. Now a Christian.
Libby makes a lot of sense.
I like Gordon Libby.
Now a Christian minister, Chuck Colson, says it's one of the most plausible explanations of the Watergate break-in he's ever heard. Talk show host G. Gordon Liddy, who orchestrated the burglary at Democratic headquarters in 1972, says he thinks the purpose was to find evidence of a prostitution ring. Quoting Colson, who testified in a defamation lawsuit against Liddy yesterday, "I've never thought people were breaking in for political intelligence." Liddy's being sued for over $5 million by a woman who was once the secretary for the Democratic National Committee. Now a
Chuck Colson's credible.
Now a bitter enemy of Liddy, former Nixon staffer John Dean may be called next to testify.
Dean! The mother chucker. So listen, Buzz.
Yes.
You know, we're rooting for G in this.
Of course, yes.
Does it appear that he's winning, or can you even tell at this point if he's winning?
It's looking better. I think the balance is tipping, beginning now to tip more in his favor. Of course, it's now his attorney's turn to present their case, and it'll be up to the jury, of course, in the end to make the decision between the two cases, but he's certainly made a comeback at this point.
Buzz, is there any chance that John Dean's going to be calling his sister on the stand?
Who's that?
Deborah.
Wow. That'd be good.
I'm sorry.
Miami police.
Or her brother.
Her brother?
Dizzy.
Or Jimmy.
Their father.
Okay.
Miami police once again answered an OJ call. Actually, the call came from the neighbors of his on-again, off-again girlfriend, Christine Prody, the one who looked eerily like the late Nicole. When police...
Hello? This is OJ.
When police arrived...
Oh, OJ didn't make the call. They made the call about OJ.
Right. The neighbors called because they heard noise at Christine Prody's house. And when police arrived,
gotcha.
They found Christine unhurt, but she told them the yelling they heard came from OJ, who was furious about her coming home late.
This is OJ. Join me for a beautiful weekend. Join me for a lovely, lovely devil murder as I slice my wife's head off.
Damn it, Tony.
Beautiful weekend. Damn it, Tony. I'm trying to cut a spot.
Beautiful decapitation.
Simpson wasn't there when police arrived. Last night, Christine told Fox News, everything's fine.
Paul Quinn College.
Cordially.
Invites you to a beautiful decapitation.
Court TV says the Ray Caruth murder trial was its hottest show since the OJ trial. Court TV says 327,000 people watched the trial and that about 500,000 tuned in for the verdict.
Join me for a lovely, lovely murder trial.
The Baltimore Ravens have outscored the New York Giants on the court dockets. 11 members of the Ravens Super Bowl roster have arrest records, according to the possibly biased New York Post. The Giants have 6 players with rap sheets, led by quarterback Kerry Collins, who was convicted on DUI charges. The best-known Raven convict is, of course, Ray Lewis, who pleaded guilty to obstructing justice in a murder case. On average, 14...
And please, Buzz.
Yes, yes.
A man who compares himself to Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we should include that. On average, 14% of the players in this year's Super Bowl have been arrested at some point in their lives for everything from drugs to shoplifting. That's up from last year's 11%. A book on the subject says 21% of all NFL players have records.
21.
Buzz, we got time for one more story.
This is good. People who have been watching DirecTV without paying for it, they're going to have to watch the Super Bowl through their regular antenna. The satellite company has developed a nifty new technology that actually fries the receiver boxes that contain counterfeit authorization cards. The guy who made and sold one of the first pirate cards says he figures the company has already zapped some 200,000 boxes.
That and I'm glad you love that because you stopped me from going over the edge and buying one of those bad boxes. Thank you.
Good
Buzz
man.
Has always kept me away from bad boxes.
Yeah, very good. Always good to avoid those bad boxes.
Yeah. Coach Touchstone, right there. Time for a call. 100, a prize package. Selected especially for you. Be the last call that we take from the Super Bowl right now. 877-365-3636. Listen, it's been a long day. It's been a long, long day. Join me for a lovely, lovely call-in contest right now.
100th caller at Paul Quinn College.
Try to call a spot, Tony.
Let's go to break, Lisa. Call 100 right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
34-year-old quarterback tells a Dallas TV station he thinks he can help the Cowboys again.
I think I can help the Cowboys again. I don't need these concussions. Have in any way affected my ability to play, Coach Landry.
Hey, why is Jesse Jackson talking now?
I'll be back.
Aikman led Big D to 3 Super Bowl titles but got 2 concussions last season. Tiger Woods has seen his string of consecutive PGA rounds at par or under come to an end. Woods shot a 2-over par 73 today at the Phoenix Open, ending the streak.
Oh, we're sorry.
At 52 rounds.
Yeah, God.
Finally, there's more than one way to roll marijuana. A fry cook in a small town in Texas took to rolling pot into the breakfast burritos he made for his customers.
All right, Ardinger's Cafe.
They're ready, sir.
Unfortunately for him, one of those customers was a police officer who ordered a whole big bunch of them. The cook now faces up to 6 months in jail and a $2,000 fine. He's also been fired from his job at Whataburger. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Mike was just effing with you.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Actually, we have got to go. We want to thank our guest today, Boomer Esiason, Bonnie Bernstein, who's coming out to Reno with us, Randy Cross and his gigantic teeth, George Gimple from Channel 4 in Washington. Also, Rudy Marsky, want to thank Michelle from the Redskins. Helped us a lot getting our passes worked out. Also, Lisa and Wendell, our engineer. And, of course, limited thanks to Carlos Broyhill.
Yay!
Super Bowl show is brought to you by Geico, where one 15-minute phone call can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Have a great weekend. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Hope my boy feels good.
I do, too, and have a fantastic time at that game, Don.
We will. You hear all about it on Monday's episode. And, of course, you know, nothing but sunshine for the Golden Boy this weekend.
Yes, sunshine, fun time, golf time.
That's it. We got to go. Lisa, let's hit those touchstones and get a call 100 right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello.
I am caller 100.
There you go. Thank you, my friend. What's your name?
This is Lee in Reno.
Lee in Reno.
Yes, sir.
Lee, we're coming out there. We're going to be at Tahoe at Harrah's.
Yes, it's going to be our fabulous Reno Tahoe style show.
And Bonnie Bernstein joining us. You have won a copy of the movie The Cell. The Cell is rated R, starring Jennifer Lopez and Vince Vaughn. Now available to rent at your local video warehouse location. Enjoy, and thanks for listening.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Don and Mike.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Don't hurt yourself. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Back on Monday to tell you everything that happened this weekend, all the crap that happens at the game.
Right.
All the Survivor crap, all of that. Oh, and hey, Charlie, do we have that hypnotist this Monday?
Yes.
Gary Conrad.
Oh, that guy, the huckster.
No. He's not the one we thought was the huckster.
All right.
He's not the one that Aline Cunningham's son had was the huckster.
Oh,
his
that's
name was
right.
Tom Silver. The one that we
Tom
liked.
Tom Silver was the huckster.
The one that we liked was the guy who hypnotized Buzz.
So what kind of hypnotist is this?
This is the guy who hypnotized Buzz.
Oh, that's
remember,
right.
And remember then Buzz came in a day later and said he wasn't really hypnotized.
Well, mm-hmm. We'll do it right the second time.
Yeah, good luck.
That's on Monday's episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And now, Robbie.
Hiya, pal.
Here you go. Throw that hat in the air. You know what? I don't have the sheet to tell me what button to hit here. These guys are in touch. Mike, don't hit that button. Don't hit that button. You don't know what that button's going to do. Thank you. Got it. You couldn't help yourself, could you? You couldn't help yourself.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't be playing with this, but it's so fun to play with.
Please, throw your hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore. You might just make it after all. Very nicely done. That's it. We will see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mike, keep your hands away from this machine.
Offer my book.
Bye-bye.
Go on.
And goodbye again.
Be kind. And I hope the next performance has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.